I will open the Senate Interim Committee on Rules for September 29, 2009. We have a series of items to go through very quickly, and then we will get to the business that's actually before us. The first item of business is actually adoption of committee rules. Senator Burdick, could you move the adoption of the committee rules?
Chair Devlin, I move to adopt the proposed committee rules dated September 29, 2009.
Okay, Senator Burdick has moved adoption of the committee rules. Senator Atkinson, do you have any questions? These are just the standard committee rules that we've always had in the past.
I do not.
Okay. It has been moved to adopt the committee rules. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Motion passes. As you can see, the committee members that are before you, myself, Senator Burdick, Senator Atkinson is on the phone. I believe Senator Farrioli will join us very soon, and Senator Metzger should join us soon after that. In the process of conducting the hearings, we do not have to have a quorum of the committee, although we do have a quorum of the committee at this time present. In terms of the review of the work plan for this committee is going to be relatively succinct. But we are going to probably share it at the next committee meeting. And it's only going to be a couple of bills, one of them with a very broad relating clause. So we may have to do a few corrections to some statutes that have already passed. With that, we're going to go on to actually just a brief presentation. We have a new elections director for the state. So Mr. Pack, would you want to come forward and give him a brief introduction that he could come forward also?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Barry Pack, Deputy Secretary of State. I look forward to one of those broad relating clauses later this year. I have a feeling I know what it might be. I'm pleased to...
I made very good use of a relating clause during the session.
Mr. Chair, I know very well your capability of with relating clauses. I have with me today our new Director of Elections. After a pretty extensive national search, we're pleased to bring Steve Trout in. He comes from the state of California with a long career of elections law and election administration from the state level with the California Secretary of State as a senior elections counsel, also as an assistant registrar of voters for San Bernardino County, so he understands the important relationships between the state and our partners in the counties, and then also serving as a private consultant advising counties around the western states on how to implement election law and improve best practices. And with that, knowing you have a full agenda, I'll just turn it over to Mr. Trout for a few comments and move on the way.
Well, Mr. Trout, welcome to the Oregon Legislature, and I obviously assume this is now your new home, so welcome to your state capital.
It is, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Chairman and members, for the record, Steve Trout, Director of Elections for the Secretary of State's office, and excited to be here, and many opportunities for us to grow and improve elections here in the state, and we've got many new activities going on, some petition processing that we're doing in-house at the state going on across the street that it's going very well, and we'd invite you and members of the committee to come over and observe it, and I know some of your staff did that this morning, have many pieces of legislation to implement, including the online voter registration piece. That'll be a big piece for us coming up here for the rest of the year. So excited to be here. I have, as Mr. Pax shared, been involved in elections for a long time, been sued many times as senior counsel for the California Secretary of State, so I know state election issues and know how they impact things at the county, and was able to meet with the county folks here last week and start off on a good relationship there. So look forward to working with you and the committee moving forward, and I'm sure I'll be back in February to work with you then. Thank you.
Any questions at this time? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming here today. I'm sure that we will see a lot of you in the future, and also Mr. Pack. So,
thank you, Chair.
Thank you. To those in the audience, we are going to start down the schedule of appointments, but we are going to jump around a little bit, but then we're going to get back on track, hopefully within about 45 minutes. The first appointments that we always have are those appointments which are paid. Some of those may elicit some discussion here today, but as soon as we get through those, I think our deliberations are going to go relatively expeditiously. Also, I would indicate that all parties that come before, if you would limit your testimony to 2 minutes. Now, that sounds like a short period of time, but I believe that's about the time that Lincoln needed to actually give the Gettysburg Address. So, not saying that any of us are Lincolns, but 2 minutes is a pretty long time. So, and we have about 80 appointments to hear from today. So, I'm going to... Okay. The other thing is with the modifications in these rooms to the audio systems, all cell phones cause problems in some of these rooms, whether they are on vibrate or not. As long as they are on, they will interfere with the audio system. So if you have boy, I've never seen so much movement in an audience. Please turn your cell phone off. I also need to make this announcement, correct? In accordance with Senate Rule 1920, the chair is waiving the appearance of Bruce Rogers as the chair of the Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board. The committee members, this has been discussed with the committee members, and I don't believe we have an objection to that. Okay. We will now begin by opening a public hearing. I'm going to open a public hearing on the appointment of Colette Peters as director of the Oregon Youth Authority. Ms. Peters? Ms. Peters, simply give your name, identify yourself for the record, give us just a very brief presentation. We've all got your background information, so.
Great. Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. For the record, I am Colette Peters, and I would like to thank you for the opportunity to come before you today to seek confirmation as the director of the Oregon Youth Authority. As you know, I was appointed by Governor Kulongoski early this summer, and I would like to thank him for the confidence that he has placed in me with this position. I want to let you know that I'm thrilled to be here. I accepted this position because I am committed to public safety and committed to changing the lives of the youth in our care and custody. You have received my background. You know that my public safety career began over 17 years ago, and I'm glad that it has come full circle. I began my career working in the juvenile justice system, and I'm pleased to be able to serve youth again. I am also proud to be part of this organization. The Oregon Youth Authority is responsible for over 2,000 youth in our care and custody, and we have 1,100 employees who are committed to the mission that has been presented to us, and it is simple: to reduce recidivism by holding our youth accountable and giving them a place to reform in a safe environment. As I've traveled across the state to meet with all of our employees and the youth in our care and custody over the last 2 months, my belief in this agency has been reaffirmed, and I want to share with you that this organization is filled with hardworking, dedicated, ethical people who come to the table every day passionately to change the lives of the youth in our custody. So it's that passion and commitment that I bring to the table. I want you to know that I intend to come to the table as an active leader, one who is open, honest, and communicative, and willing to collaborate with all of our partners and stakeholders in our juvenile justice system, really envisioning one juvenile justice system with multiple partners. So again, I'm thrilled to be here. I hope you give me the opportunity to serve in this capacity, and I, of course, would welcome any questions.
Okay, questions for Ms. Peters. The chair has a couple of questions, and again, welcome, and
thank you.
Appreciate you being willing to take this assignment. The Oregon Youth Authority on the institutional side has a basic requirement that the public doesn't necessarily always think about in terms of staffing. Your institutional elements operate 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And when a staff member doesn't show up or when they call in sick, you can't actually say this unit will not have any supervision. So you get into situations in which there are basic requirements in most facilities like this for mandatory overtime. The chair has seen experiences both in the Department of Corrections and in OIA where there's appropriate uses of mandatory overtime, and when there's actually abuses of use of overtime, actually also both in the nature of the management of the institution, but actually sometimes employees take too much overtime, which leads to problems within the institution because people can actually only work so many hours. What is your view on how you're going to manage the issue of mandatory overtime, particularly since you are going to have some workers who I believe are going to actually have to be furloughed on certain days?
Correct. Thank you, Chair Devlin. I appreciate you recognizing the difficulties and details that we need to look into when we're running a 24/7 institution. It is an issue that we're taking seriously. We recognize the need to become more efficient when we're looking at ways to do that. For example, we've been in discussions with the union and management throughout the organization to consider options of changing our shifts in an effort to extend our shift length in an effort to reduce potential overtime. There's lots of other management options that we're considering as we're looking at how we're going to manage through furloughs in a 24/7 institution. So it isn't an easy conversation, but I appreciate you understanding the difficulties that are presented before us.
Okay. Another issue that has actually been presented to me is you have one institution, which is an actually, in addition to Hillcrest, although I think Hillcrest, that is an all-female offender institution. I've heard some concerns that the number of female staff there is declining. Now, I don't know if it's still the practice. It's been a long time since I've worked in adult and juvenile corrections, but it had always been in the practice in the past. And I guess the audience here could understand the reasons, mm-hmm. that when you have an all-female institution that is served by both male and female staff, that you always have a female staff either immediately in the presence or in the immediate vicinity. How are you going to deal with that issue at that institution in terms of trying to keep a balance?
Thank you, Chair Devlin. The facility that you're referring to is our Oak Creek facility in Albany, and it does house all of our female offenders in the Oregon Youth Authority. I have been briefed on multiple items as I come new to this role, just now 2 months behind me. I have not yet heard that the number of female employees in that institution has been declining, so that's something I can look into and address. But today, I will recognize that when you're running an all-female facility, there are obligations that we have from a safety and security perspective in terms of the ability for female staff to be able to run certain safety and security checks with the female offenders. So that balance, of course, has to be there from a safety and security perspective. When it comes to hiring individuals for the facility, we, of course, are looking for the best qualified applicants to fill those positions.
Any additional questions for Ms. Peters?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, I have.
Yes.
And actually, it's not so much as a question as it is a statement. I had an opportunity to have an excellent meeting with this nominee, and the topic of our discussion was how tiresome it is each legislative session to have a discussion about which of the rural-based Oregon Youth Authority facilities we will close this time. And I expressed that I was in hopes that she'd extracted a promise from the guy who gave her the job that this would not once again become the usual political football. It's a fabulous waste of time and energy, and the outcome is not different than the previous year, and I hope we could focus on improving the quality of the services in the institution rather than having a lot of discussion about whether or not the institutions will persist in the communities wherein they reside. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. I agree with you. Anything else for Ms. Peters? Seeing nothing, thank you very much for coming here today. So that the people in the audience understand, we go through a large number of the interviews before we actually go to motions. We may do some motions at the close of today before we get through all the interviews because we have a very long day. But our normal pattern is to go through all the interviews before we actually go to motions of the committee. The next person up is I'll close that public hearing, and I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Mary Jagger to the State Long-Term Care Ombudsman. Ms. Jagger, would you come forward?
Good afternoon.
Again, state your name for the record. And
Mary Jagger.
Yeah.
Recent appointee for Long-Term Care Ombudsman.
Okay. And just give us a little bit about why you wanted this position. Basically, a little bit of your background. We all have your bio, and so we all know your background. So.
Okay, so briefly, Ms. Devlin and committee members, I'm coming to this position from 10 years as the executive director of CASA in Portland, the court-appointed special advocates, which in Oregon statute is probably the nearest comparison to the ombudsman program. It relies on recruiting and training of citizen volunteers to be appointed by the court to advocate for children who have been placed in foster care because of abuse or neglect. Similarly, the ombudsman program recruits, trains, and supports citizen volunteers who are then assigned to facilities or groups of facilities across the state to advocate for individual residents and their rights living in those facilities. In that program, I was the executive director as well as the chief fundraiser and also served as a volunteer with my husband, co-CASAs. In addition to that, I have an academic background from Willamette across the street, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree from the University of Southern California, the Andrus Gerontology Center, where I was awarded a master's in gerontology, as well as from the USC campus in Washington, D.C., where I received a master's in public administration. I have many years of working in long-term care facilities, either as an aide, a dishwasher, an activities person, and actually as an administrator, all of which was inspired by an extended family of very elderly relatives for whom I was the caregiver, including a mother who was 10 years at the care of her daughters at home.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Jagger? Well, thank you very much for coming here today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. We do have a number of parties that are signed up for public testimony, so if you'll...
Would you like me to stay here?
No, okay. Please have a seat. I'm going to go to the first two. It's Ms. Aileen Kay and Rick Bennett, if you would come forward. And again, we're going to start actually timing these, so if people could limit their testimony to 2 minutes, please. And if anyone comes into the room, we are actually using hearing room A as an overflow room if there's anybody additional that wants to hear these proceedings. Ms. Kay, please start.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Aileen Kay. I was the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Developmental Specialist in the late 1970s and know the history completely of the State Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program. And this was so long ago that Ron Wyden was our legal services developer at the time, and Larry Campbell was in the legislature. Yeah. I have attached a letter from Gene Smith, who was the first ombudsman to be in the governor's office. That was written in 1903.
Just means that maybe if you split the mics apart a little bit farther.
This was in 1983 and illustrates what led to the strong legislation that was passed in 1985 to strengthen the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program. I am not here to request that you deny confirmation of Mary Jagger. I've met with her. I like her. I am here to question why we are even here discussing the appointment of a new Long-Term Care Ombudsman, because we had a perfectly good one in Meredith Cody for the last 20 years. The process that was used to terminate Ms. Cody is totally perplexing and hard to accept. In my opinion, the members, the Long-Term Care Advisory Committee, whose members are selected by the governor and legislative leadership failed to protect Meredith as they should have. That advisory committee is continuing to alienate Oregonians by refusing to include public comment period during their monthly meetings. Another very disconcerting action that took place in the transition period, the then acting long-term care administrator, Ann Fay, terminated a 17-year volunteer ombudsman because she dared to write a letter to the editor critical of the firing of Meredith Cody. I'm concerned that that could harm the ability of the new ombudsman to recruit new volunteers if they feel that that same fate could be theirs. We are planning to strengthen the ombudsman law again in the coming sessions.
Thank you very much. Okay. Mr. Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Rick Bennett, Director of Government Relations for AARP Oregon. AARP has a very long history in its support of the Ombudsman program, both in creation as well as here in Oregon. We have been very supportive in helping with training and planning of conferences and so forth, and I believe we are the primary organization working with the Ombudsman program to recruit volunteers. We believe the program is essential to protecting the rights of individuals in care facilities, and obviously we take this position and who is being appointed very, very seriously as well. You have a letter from both signed by AARP as well as Oregon Healthcare Association and SEIU indicating our support for the nominee. I know there's been some questions related to the process involved. We believe the process with its 60-day statutory requirement has been fulfilled. As soon as we were aware that there would be an opening and a search conducted, we contacted the governor's office to confirm the timeline and the process. We contacted individuals who we thought would be well qualified for the position to assist with that search. I'm not sure about the reference related to no public comment in front of the long-term advisory committee, but I attended their meeting where they were finalizing their recommendations to the governor and spoke regarded to the qualifications or qualities that we were looking in an ombudsman. And I think all three of the individuals who were forwarded, recommended to the governor's office were well qualified for the position. And again, we're very supportive of Mary Jagger. Thank you.
Thank you. If committee members do have questions, we're going to go through these relatively quickly. Please indicate to the chair. But if not, thank you very much. Jim Davis, I believe Jim McConnell, and Steve Wise. Mr. Davis, why don't you start off?
Thank you. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I am Jim Davis, representing the Oregon State Council for Retired Citizens, United Seniors of Oregon, the Oregon Consumer League, and the Oregon Alliance for Retired Americans. These four statewide organizations, as you are aware of through our communication, both verbally and through email, that these organizations have joined together to oppose the confirmation of the appointee to the long-term care ombudsman position. We have some very, very serious concerns about how the hiring process was handled, and we feel that there was not adequate outreach to the senior and disability communities, that it was very difficult to even find out information about how to apply for this position, what the process was. Yes, AARP ARP was notified, but the rest of our organizations, all of whom have historic ties into the long-term care ombudsman position, we were not adequately notified, nor were many others in our community. And we feel that this lack of outreach into the senior and disability community caused there to be a definitely an inadequate pool of applicants for this position. You have heard people talk almost proudly of the fact that there are 23 applicants for this position, but this position should have attracted hundreds of applicants. It was advertised only in the employment section, the state employment section, and I think they registered it with the National Ombudsman Program. But it was not readily available. There was not adequate outreach. And I think that it showed, frankly, we would look at very differently than AARP, because when we looked at the finalists, we did not feel that it met standards that we thought were appropriate for this position. They were qualified individuals, but we expect a much, much higher standard for this. The appointment of Mary Yeager has certainly come under question. We have nothing personal against Mary Yeager. She is a competent professional. She established herself very well in the court-appointed special advocates program, but that was a program for children. And what we're looking for here is an individual who's an expert in the senior and disability services arena and who understands our model system and our model statutes. We also have raised a concern, and I've had some good discussions with people on both sides, including my friend Jim Carlson, of our partner, the Oregon Healthcare Association, as we partner with SEIU and AARP, who we're not in agreement here. But I think this is a real issue and one that we have to look at. It's a noble profession, nursing home administrator, a very difficult one to attain. But there are some serious questions that can be raised around conflict of interest to have a nursing home administrator as the head of an agency that is a watchdog for nursing home residents. And we can have an interesting debate around this, but we certainly will be looking at that when we begin to develop our statutes. There's another issue that we wanted to raise, and that is the issue of actually seating an individual in a position before confirmation hearings, which really calls into question the impact of these confirmation hearings and what would happen even if you did vote against the appointment of Mary Yeager. We firmly believe that there should that nobody should be seated in a position this important before there are confirmation hearings, and that those confirmation hearings should hold some weight. So that's another issue we wanted to raise. We too had difficulties with the firing of Meredith Cody, but that's not an issue that we want to raise in this process. But we do have some serious concerns around the long-term care ombudsman office, and concerns that make us wonder whether it is actually the independent agency that we have all fought so many years for, that it maybe it lost a little of its independence in this whole fight. And we want it to be very, very clear that it is critical that this program be totally independent from bureaucratic or political influences. And I think a lot of those lines were crossed and breached in this case. And so what we are asking of you, and we know that it is an uphill battle, but we are asking that this process be done right, that it be started over and done right. And maybe the outcome will be the same, but we do not feel that it was done correctly. And if I may end on the fact that we are now developing legislation to amend the long-term care ombudsman statutes so that this never happens again, to open up the process, to open up outreach. There'll be a lot of issues addressed, and we'll probably look at the law anyway for other things. And so please be awaiting this, because we want to make sure that it is very clear in the future and that something of this nature does not happen again. So thank you very much.
Please proceed and identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jim McConnell. I retired from Multnomah County Aging and Disability Services as director. I was director there for 22 years. Today I consult with other states in the development of community-based long-term care systems. And I'm here today, I'm also a member of the Oregon State Council of Retired Seniors. I'm here today to oppose the confirmation of the candidate for the long-term care ombudsman position. Basically on the basis that the process used by the state to recruit candidates to this sensitive position was inadequate. The announcement could well have been distributed through the SPD mailing an email system which reaches the whole network of aging and disability advocates and professionals in the state. The title of the position used by DAS was Principal Executive Manager E, and then in parentheses, Long-Term Care Ombudsman. And that title doesn't mean a whole lot to people who are outside of the state system. The recruitment announcement should have included reference to the innovative long-term care system in Oregon that we have been building for over 25 years. It just seems like it was a bureaucratic announcement, and it didn't include the sense of leadership and the sense of innovation that we've included in the whole long-term care system. The timeline used only 11 working days, and the limited recruitment pool had fewer than 50 candidates, and I would say that in itself is an indication that it wasn't very well advertised. So we're saying the confirmation should be set aside to allow for wider recruitment of qualified candidates, and we're also hoping that clarifying language would be added to ORS 441, requiring that future recruitment for the position of the state long-term care ombudsman be posted well beyond the confines of state government. Thank you.
Please begin.
Good afternoon. My name is Steve Weiss. I'm board president of the Oregon State Council for Retired Citizens. The OSCRC joins several other organizations in expressing our continuing concerns about the process that led to the appointment of Mary Yeager as the new ombudsperson and the firing of former ombudsperson Meredith Cody. In his article on this issue in the Statesman Journal, Alan Gustafson accurately reports our belief that the hiring process, quote, was too hasty, shut out valuable input from seniors and advocates, and failed to attract enough applicants, unquote. Given that the Ombudsperson Office investigates complaints about nursing, residential care and assisted living facilities, and adult foster care homes, many of us are also concerned that Ms. Yeager's background as a former nursing home administrator might seriously compromise her impartiality as long-term care ombudsperson. Therefore, we are asking that the Senate Rules Committee and the full Oregon Senate oppose the appointment of Mary Yeager to that position. We're also asking that you recommend that the hiring process for this position be restarted with adequate involvement of senior and disabled advocates and with adequate notice that the position is open. To summarize, we believe that the legislature needs to stop this process in its tracks, oppose the confirmation of Mary Yeager, insist on a more responsible and inclusive hiring and appointment process, and conduct a careful examination of how this crucial program is being administered. Thank you for allowing me to address you.
Thank you. Any questions for this panel? Seeing none, thank you very much. I'm now going to call up the final panel, Lenore Bijan, Verna Porter, and Jerry Morris. And again, if you could limit yourselves to 2 minutes each. Please begin in whichever order you want to begin.
Thank you. Jerry Morris, incoming president of the Oregon Alliance for Retired Americans. Thank you for the opportunity to come before you. I'll be very brief. I have given to you one of your aides there a printed copy, so this will be a bit repetitive, but basically I'm here because the board of OARA have a number of people who are very concerned about this process. and the moving forward with it, feeling that there was a not appropriate outreach to the senior and retiree community, feeling that people who wanted to make suggestions, not necessarily for themselves, but for others that they thought might be qualified to seek a position, that they could not find information as to how to pursue this. They could not get adequate information. And the question about the size of the pool of applicants, particularly in this time now of economic recession, you would think that a position of this stature would draw a much larger and indeed a national pool of applicants. There's concerns about the experience of the person who was nominated by the governor, that is being formerly administrator, fox and the chicken coop kind of a thing, and a question as to the qualifications that is the senior disability community, the retired community, would like to see in this position someone who's very familiar with the Oregon system and with how it works. And so that's basically the concerns reflected on our board. What bring to you today? Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Verna Porter. I just recently stepped down as the president of the Oregon Alliance for Retired Americans. I'm currently the president of the United Seniors, but am affiliated with many senior groups. What I did in life for in my career, for the most part, in nursing was I was a geriatric nurse, and so this subject of ombudsman is I always want to say ombudsperson, but anyway, this position is very vitally important. And yes, we did, many of us here, that the appointment was coming up, and many people that I know who were involved with our various organizations wanted to apply, and we could not find out how to apply. Now, this, for me, was the basic issue. And indeed, the position of ombudsman is so important. I saw it regularly in my work. In fact, very many times the patient, the client in the situation didn't even want to talk to a registered nurse they trusted because they felt that that was a connection to the management. And so our ombudsmen are a vital part of this community. My concern again is that we didn't get information enough to get involved in the process. There were many people who were interested in applying that did not know how. And as I said, this position of ombudsman is so important that we, in our newsletter, Alliance for Retired Americans, will be publishing a request for volunteer workers with the ombudsman, because that is how important it is. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Lenore Bion, and thank you so much for this opportunity to testify. I wanted to testify because I had a daughter who was in a nursing home for a considerable length of time in Oregon, and saw some of the, was firsthand observer of some of the difficulties that she encountered. And as an aging person, I'm 78 now, I am at some peril of spending some time in a nursing home myself. So I'm most concerned that whomever goes into this position as representing the dire needs of the most fragile population you can think of is somebody who is not a political appointee and is not somebody who's looked upon in terms of dry statistics, but is somebody with the heart to administer this position with, first and foremost, the welfare of these very, very vulnerable people that a great deal of power is wielded over in this position at heart. And that is my plea to you, that this be done in a way that is not political but keeps its focus on this very, very fragile, vulnerable population that desperately needs somebody in their corner. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? Thank you very much for coming. Well, we have one more person, actually, that signed up, but I didn't, wasn't here in the room at the time. Mr. Carlson, would you come forward and please limit your testimony to 2 minutes? And then I'm going to ask the indulgence of all the people in the audience here. This is our most, this is the one appointment that today that we will have the most testimony on. Mr. Carlson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Jim Carlson, President of the Oregon Healthcare Association. I think we really have three issues here in front of us today. I think the first one is there was some controversy over the firing of the previous ombudsman, and I think some folks were upset with that. And I think that the second issue then was the process used to hire the new ombudsman, which is prescribed pretty carefully in statute. And then the third issue we have before us are the what I believe to be the excellent qualifications of the nominee for the position. To the first issue, I don't think there's much we can do about the decision that was made. I think that that decision was made and that all the appropriate human resources, legal channels have been followed, despite whatever personal feelings some of us may or may not have about that. To the process, when I became aware that the position was open, and there were newspaper articles in both the Oregonian, the Statesman Journal, there was radio coverage of this on OPB and others, it was not a big guarded secret that the position was open. It had generated a fair amount of attention. I, along with other advocates who were very interested in this position, actually sought out the governor's office to ask about the process, to ask about the timeline, to ask about the steps they would be taking to fill this position, because I think we're all in agreement. This is a very important position. I actually went to Mr. Bennett, in all honesty, and suggested he apply for the position, and his wife would not permit him to do so. But in all honesty, he was the first person I went to. I talked to Rick. I said, Rick, would you be interested in this position? And so a lot of us in the building during this process were engaged in ongoing discussions with other advocates, other consumer groups, and others about the position. And the governor's office was very forthcoming. Under statute, they only had 60 days to complete a process, and they followed that process that was out there, and there was quite a bit of knowledge out there that the position was open. You had a couple dozen applicants, including a number from out of state, who did apply for the position. The third point I want to make, which is to the qualifications of Ms. Yeager, I think she's eminently qualified for the position. I know of her mostly through her work with CASA, where they've done a tremendous job with CASA recruiting and training volunteers and advocating on behalf of abused and neglected children. I think this is an important position where, quite frankly, we need to recruit a lot more volunteer ombudsmen than we have currently today to do this job. I think her background and experience in healthcare and advocacy for vulnerable populations and her advanced degree in gerontology make her eminently qualified, and so we are strongly supporting her nomination and confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you. Given the nature of some of the testimony, although I don't believe anyone has actually questioned Ms. Yeager's character, and actually I would have stopped them if they had. They've questioned the process and question whether the qualifications were the right qualifications. But Ms. Yeager, do you want to have at least a minute or two to respond?
Thank you, Senator and Committee. I guess my strongest reaction, and I appreciate the need for public process and for looking at an issue from all sides. But I think this is truly the first time in my life where I've been asked to defend the fact that I worked in a nursing home. I strove to get an administrator's license as partly a family service, partly as an ability to pay back. But if you looked at the record, most of the people I worked for were Roman Catholic sisters who were thrilled to have me on board, and I believe who felt my presence was as an advocate for the people who live there. I think my strongest tie to the elderly came because I was born to very elderly immigrant parents, and you know how there's one person in the family that takes care of the old people? That was me. So I'm trying to separate personally the suggestion that I don't have compassion, that I'm trying to focus myself on the fact that I think this is a noble position, and I think I could bring a lot to it. I was perfectly happy doing what I was doing. I could have retired from there. But I think for me, if you look at academics, personal background, family background, and then the actual ability to recruit and train volunteers, I think it makes for a nice combination. So I'm honored to serve if chosen to do so, and thank you for your time.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Burton.
I wanted to find out what your comments, what your observations, having heard what you've heard, and I'm sure today is not the first time you've heard it, about how the process was handled in terms of what happened before and how the process worked for getting a new ombudsman.
Well, I found out about the process driving to work one day. I heard it on OPB. So I wasn't looking for a job on the state website. I had heard that the previous director was terminated, and then I thought, oh my goodness, 20 years in the same spot, even as a young baby administrator, that same director had been in place. So I really can't comment from the search, trying to search it, because I heard it on the radio and then found it on the website.
And Mr. Chair, also following up the point about coming, you know, your experience as a former nursing home administrator, I think, you know, I appreciate the comments that you made about your orientation when you were in that kind of job. But the fact of the matter is that it is an industry that has had problems in the past. You know, these were your colleagues when you were an administrator. And they're always, you know, more than one side of the story, and unfortunately, not all of the administrators are compassionate, and yet you were part of that world. And I think it's a very legitimate question to ask how you would approach problems that might exist with people who were former colleagues and people that you identified with in the past.
Sure. I think it is all, for the record, I haven't worked in a nursing home since 1993. So many of the people I worked with, I think, are either out of the business or retired. But to follow up on that, I think particularly at the time, it's very important as an administrator to know the regulations inside and out. I think having worked on the inside, if you will, of a nursing home, I really do understand that. And I really do understand that it takes more than a 9-to-5 and staff showing up every day. It's a personal motivation. It's the leadership to say, gosh, there's no one on the night shift, I'll go in. With regard to, I think, confrontation with people currently in the field, I think that actually gives me an edge, because I do understand, you know, at least to a certain point, how the regulations came to be, what they stand for, and why they matter to the ultimate customer, who is the resident.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Does the committee wish to hear from the governor's advisor, Don Bonder, about the process? I know that many of us have had discussions with parties on all sides of this issue.
I'm outvoted, Mr. Chair.
Okay. With that, I will close this public hearing, and we will go on to the next public hearing. Again, we do not vote on items until we get through a large number of items. I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Aaron Felton to the Parole and Post-Prison Supervision Board. Mr. Felton. While he's coming up, I will tell you that I've known Mr. Felton probably, I think, close to a decade now. We serve on the same board, the Oregon Youth and Government Board for the YMCA. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's a twofer. I get to talk about the parole board and make a plug for youth and government. That's excellent.
Yes.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Devlin and members of the Senate Rules Committee. I am Aaron Felton, before you today seeking confirmation of the Governor's appointment to serve as chairperson of the Oregon Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. As an attorney, I have served as counsel to two legislative committees as a criminal defense lawyer, prosecutor, and civil litigator. However, it is my work in the criminal justice system that I found to be the most energizing and rewarding, and I wanted to return to that area of the law. Last November, I ran for the position of Polk County District Attorney because of my strong commitment to both public service and public safety. Although I narrowly lost that race, it confirmed that my passion is in protecting Oregonians, working with victims of crime, and ensuring that the criminal justice system is fair, balanced, and effective. When Stephen Powers declined to seek reappointment as chairperson of the board, I saw a tremendous opportunity to bring my education, energy, and experience to a key component of Oregon's public safety system. I am honored that the governor has entrusted me with leading this agency and continuing the charge of making the board and its work more transparent and effective. As you know from the decision last week to not move forward with the confirmation of a fourth board member, the agency is facing significant financial challenges. The board's workload continues to increase with the growth of the offender population in prison and on supervision in the community. I look forward to working with my respected colleagues at the board, Vicki Walker, Candace Wheeler, and Darcy Baker, as well as the governor's office and the members of the legislature, to develop workable solutions to those challenges in these times of fiscal uncertainty. I thank you for this opportunity to come before you, and will be happy to answer your questions.
Any questions for Mr. Felton? Yes, Senator Metzger.
I do, and thank you for your willingness to serve, Mr. Felton. You commented on your background on the prosecutorial side, district attorney office, et cetera, and public safety, which is a key ingredient of this position. Another key ingredient is to be able to recognize when people who come before you are able to return to being good citizens and being able to identify those characteristics of when people should be paroled and the kind of supervision that they would have. I would just be curious into your comment on that side is what, I know what you're looking for on the other side, the safety side, but tell me what are the things that you would bring to this position in making those decisions so that society is also enriched as well as protected?
Chair Devlin, Senator Metzger, I thank you for asking that question. Not only did I serve as a prosecutor, but as I indicated, I also worked as a defense attorney as well, so I've had the opportunity to see both sides of the criminal justice system. But, you know, I'm new to the board, but one of the things I've always looked for in both sides of the criminal justice profession is people's willingness to observe and adopt change and understand what it means to recognize their past misdeeds and understand the meaning of change. And that's a longer question to a shorter that's a longer answer to a short question, sir. But they have to understand what the impact of their crime is on the victims and on society, and be able to discuss that openly. And one of the questions that is always asked in parole board hearings is, "Why are you in prison, ma'am or sir?" And they need to be able to discuss that, and that's the gateway to addressing those issues.
Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Any additional questions? If not, thank you very much for coming here today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Close that public hearing. Now we're going to go to 9 different appointments to the same board. So I'm opening a public hearing on the appointments of Mike. This is my opportunity to basically mispronounce names.
Bonetta.
I know. That was an easy one. Mike Bonetta, Eileen Brady, Carlos Crespo, Felisa Higgins, Charles Hoffman, Eric Parsons, Joe Robertson, Lillian Shirley, and Nita Warner to the Oregon Health Policy Board. Open that public hearing. I'm going to call up the first three. Mike Bonetta, Eileen Brady, and Carlos Crespo. And again, if you could please limit yourself to 3 minutes each. Now, the committee is well aware that you have all been through a fairly extensive process. There were over 200 applicants for this particular board. only four parties could actually be from healthcare professions, and I believe I've been told that over 80% of the applicants were from healthcare professions. And it's a pretty diverse board that has been selected in terms of geography also, so please start whichever direction you want to start.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, it's my honor to be considered for the Health Policy Board. Previously, I was the Vice Chair of the Oregon Health Fund Board. I live in Portland, Oregon. My name is Eileen Brady. Did I say that? I believe that the reason I'm back is because I want to finish what we started. I was very excited to work with an active board previously, very action-oriented. We took on a complex issue, and really, I think that the legislature was able to bring many of those ideas to bear. So I'm excited about working with such a distinguished group of colleagues, and thank you for your consideration.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Mike Bonetto from Bend. I consider this a great honor to be nominated for the policy board, and a responsibility I do not take lightly. I've had the pleasure of working with many of you over the years, so I do believe many of you know my background and my passion for healthcare reform. I believe this is a great opportunity to work with the board and with the legislature to create a healthcare system that is more sustainable and equitable for all Oregonians. So again, thank you for the opportunity, and be happy to answer any questions.
My name is Carlos Crespo. Live in Portland, Oregon. I'm also director of the School of Community Health at Portland State University. I am very excited in contributing to this committee, integrating public health in healthcare, providing a diverse perspective of population in Oregon, and expanding the and improving the healthcare workforce as part of the charge of the committee.
Thank you. Any questions for this panel? Seeing none. Thank you very much. Ms. Felisa Higgins, Charles Hoffman, and Eric Parsons. Yes. Please proceed in whichever order.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Chuck Hoffman. I'm from Baker City. It was an honor to serve on the Health Fund Board. I'm really looking forward to working with the other committee members on ensuring that every Oregonian has access to affordable, effective health care. A secondary goal, perhaps, is to log as many miles as my good Senator Ferrioli, although I know I'll never be able to achieve that. Thank you.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Felisa Higgins. I live in Portland, Oregon, in the Lentz community, and I'm currently employed by the Service Employees International Union. And I just want to thank the governor and the legislative body for hearing my appointment to the Oregon Health Authority Board. I am thrilled and honored to be a part of this process. I feel like an opportunity such as this comes along, you know, not very often in a person's lifetime to be part of a healthcare reform in our state, especially at a time when we're also looking at healthcare reform in the national level. My background with healthcare workers and working through the process in acute care clinics and also with in the long-term care system with workers in those communities makes me more than excited to impact change. Thank you.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, excuse me. My name is Eric Parsons. I'm from Portland, and I'd simply say that my comments will sound very much like those of my distinguished colleagues. Clearly, as envisioned by the legislature, the Oregon Health Authority and the Oregon Health Policy Board create a rare, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, perhaps, to truly impact health and health care for Oregonians. I come to this board, if confirmed, with a background in business and finance and economics, and look forward to putting those skills work along with the skills of my very distinguished colleagues. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Any questions for this panel? Thank you all for coming today. Now, Dr. Joe Robertson, Lillian Shirley, and Nita Warner. Please begin wherever you would like.
I'm not shy. Chairman Devlin and members of the committee, my name is Nita Werner, and I live in Beaverton. I own a small business in Hillsboro. I was very honored to be asked to serve on this board. I used to be very active when my son, before he was born, in the community. I had to ask my 30 employees what they thought of me being gone to serve on another board, and they voted unanimously that this was very important and they could live without me. I'm a little bit upset over that. Health insurance for my employees is our number one concern on an annual basis. Our rates have gone up 30, 40, 50% annually. It's our number two expense for 30 employees, and something's going to break soon. And this is something that I really, really am interested in, and I hope that I do well.
Chair Devlin and members of the committee, my name is Lillian Shirley, and I live in Portland, Oregon. I currently work as the health department director for Multnomah County. I agree that with my colleagues, this is an honor, but it's also very humbling. I think here in Oregon, we've spent 3 to 6 years identifying with some of the best minds and best consensus, and across your aisles and across the committee's aisles, some real roadmaps that we can then address and really have an opportunity to lead both nationally as well as here locally, and make sure that we have a cost-effective and efficient as well as the highest quality with the most access for the people who live in our state. So I thank you for this opportunity, and I'm confident, having spent the morning with my colleagues, that we will serve you well. We will put our nose to the grindstone and all hands on board, and people here are really committed to making this happen here.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Joe Robertson. I live in Portland, Oregon. I am currently president of OHSU, but I'm also a practitioner of medicine in the state for the past 25 years. And throughout the course of my career, I've been very concerned with the access of all individuals to health care. In fact, that was one of the primary reasons that I chose a career in academic medicine. Besides the teaching and research, I wanted to have the opportunity to be able to treat all patients regardless of their ability to pay. In my current capacity as president of OHSU, we have made access to care the fundamental foundation upon which the remainder of the principles of health care reform are built, and we have incorporated partnering throughout the state to improve access as a fundamental part of our strategic plan. I am very excited about the possibility to bring the resources of OHSU in critical areas that are relevant to health care reform, such as health care IT, outcomes research, evidence-based medicine, and make sure that we bring those to bear on this process so that all of us working together can indeed improve the health and well-being of our citizens.
Okay. Any questions for this panel?
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Senator Berger.
Just an observation. I just think, is this the last panel?
The last part of this panel. There are plenty of panels after this.
Okay. I wanted to say this at the conclusion. This is another example of the kind of caliber of people we're able to attract to these hugely important non-paying jobs in the state of Oregon. I just want to express my appreciation to all the people who have stepped forward. You all have extraordinarily busy lives. Some of you have better taste in books than others, but Ms. Shirley is a member of my book group. Maybe that's a potential conflict, but I just wanted to express my appreciation for you stepping forward.
Thank you. Okay. Any additional? Thank you very much for coming here today. I will close this public hearing. And I'm opening a public hearing on the appointments of Mr. Larry Campbell and Ms. Joanne Waller to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. Mr. Campbell, Ms. Waller, please pick between the two of you.
We have.
Thank you. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to speak to you today. I'm excited about the potential of confirmation to the Ethics Committee. Joanne Wall, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell everyone who I was. Joanne Waller, Portland, Oregon. I'm currently retired. In one of my past lives, I served as the executive director of the Oregon Education Association. I am... I think the work of the Ethics Commission is extremely important in this time of public confidence being somewhat eroded in public institutions. I had a long career in working with public institutions, public employees, elected officials at every level of government, both local, state, and federal. And I hope that you will consider those qualifications as you look at our candidacy. Thank you very much.
Mr. Campbell.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Larry Campbell from Eugene, and I'm here asking your support for confirmation to my appointment to the Ethics Commission. The only thing I would say, I mean, you do have my resume, and I'll be happy to respond to any questions, but I would like to say that the 16 years that I had to spend in the that I was given the opportunity to spend in the legislature, and the 12 years as a lobbyist, give me some insight to the kind of people that are affected by the activities of the Ethics Commission. I think I can make an additional assist in that regard.
Any questions for either Mr. Campbell or Ms. Waller?
Thank you
both for coming. I think you're both eminently qualified for the positions you've been selected for.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I will close that public hearing. I'm going to go back
to the beginning.
Okay. I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Mr. Alan Ford to the Oregon State Board of Higher Education. Mr. Ford. Again, Mr. Ford, if you would identify yourself for the record and speak for a couple of minutes, and then we'll see if we have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Alan Ford from Roseburg, and I'm here to be considered for appointment to the Board of Higher Education. I have a long history and concern and support with education, and specifically higher ed. I come at this probably from two angles, the first being as a president of Roseburg Forest Products Company. We employ 2,500 people in our Oregon operations, and today with the fast-changing technology, global competition, and just generally the all the pressures for increasing the caliber and the experience of our employees, education is very, very important, specifically working with the local community colleges and on up to the universities. A second area I come at this, both from a personal and our family foundation. Our family has been very dedicated to education in general in the state of Oregon. As an example, we have a scholarship program where at any one time there's over 500 students attending our universities on our scholarship programs. And we work very hard with the universities and others to sustain these scholarship programs and improve on them. A second area for my family and myself is a focus on rural Oregon. And we're talking about the institutions of how communities are viable along with the role that education plays in these communities. And as we all know, that is absolutely critical. So this is a topic that's very dear to my heart. I know it's very complex. There's a lot of issues involved. But if I am appointed to this position, I look forward to participation in the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ford. Senator Metzger, you have a question.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Ford, and thank you for your willingness to serve. I know from a number of visits to your facilities, people who work in the forest product industry certainly need to know math and computer sciences. I don't know how you would, you know, work in any of those places now. It's really a real eye-opener.
Absolutely.
To see what kind of skills are needed. I was curious as to, other than the funding issue, which across the whole country would be, you know, is a huge issue in all of this, what do you see as you move towards the board as... if it might be one issue, maybe it's two, but what do you think is the most biggest challenge other than funding that we face in the Oregon educational higher ed system that you think needs to be addressed?
Well, again, my comments, again, I'm probably know enough to be dangerous about because this is a very complex area. Obviously, the funding drives us that we have to prioritize what we need and want and what we do with the assets we do have. Obviously, we can't have everything, and there's going to be a compromise. I am personally very concerned that we have to maintain what I would call centers of excellence. In other words, we have qualified students from our Oregon population that they stay in Oregon and are educated, and we can hopefully have their ability to stay here and work in our industry, to work in our society. But in saying that, we've got to provide access, and it's a conflict. And so how do we balance the issue of giving the opportunity for students, capable students, to attend higher education, along with increasingly, and we have to compete in the global market, of delivering a quality degree to these people that really means something. So it's a catch-22. There's no one answer. And I think that's going to be the challenge before the board, and I'll certainly probably be the legislature in the upcoming years.
Thank you.
Yes.
Senator Metzger, have you concluded?
No, I've concluded. Thank you.
Okay. Senator Burdick.
Thank you. We've been through a very difficult budget time, and it may get more difficult if some of the revenue packages that we have passed don't go through. Do you believe that it will be possible to have a quality education system if we are forced to make greater cuts than we have now?
I don't think we have any choice. You know, the question is how we allocate the assets that we are given to work with. Obviously, this is a trade-off. Maybe I know people hate the word, but we may be forced to go to a higher tuitions. But in saying that, I think we have to really look at financial aid, whether it be from the state or from the public at large. I think education's, you know, it's the role of the state to support, but I think it's so key and so much of a fact. We must have quality graduates that I think is a function of the whole society. But I do think that we've got to deal with the fact that we've got these resources to deal with, and we have to establish those priorities. And there's going to be some trade-offs, and some of them won't be very nice.
So to follow up, Mr. Chair, so you do feel that we could reduce higher ed even more than it is now and still have a quality system?
I think you're going to be sacrificing a lot of access if you do that. And that's going to be a decision that the state's going to have to make. If we're going to maintain higher education, you have to maintain standards. If you destroy those standards, and all of a sudden your higher education doesn't mean an awful lot. But in sustaining that, if you are marshaling scarce resources and the state is not willing to support it, I'm afraid you're going to be limiting the access to qualified students into those schools. So I think it's a wicked trade-off.
Senator Farrell, did you?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I really appreciate the practicality of your comments. We are entering and have been in a very, very difficult period. And I would believe that the skills that you bring as a very successful business person and with your educational background from Yale and Stanford, particularly your MBA, I think that will serve the Board of Higher Education very, very well. That and the fact that he is neither a duck nor a beaver, Mr. Chairman, serve us all very well. And also, just in passing, Mr. Chair, I'd like to acknowledge and thank the Ford family for their philanthropy in Oregon and throughout the country.
Thank you for your comments.
Yes.
I do not know. Senator Atkinson, are you still there?
I am.
Did you have any questions?
No, I don't. I think this is, it always astounds me the caliber of folks we're able to attract to these volunteer positions. My comments are very much in line with my colleagues.
Well, Mr. Ford, thank you very much for appearing here today. I know that there are some issues that you might disagree with some members of the Senate. I know we might have some areas where we might disagree, but I think we're benefited on these boards by having a diversity of opinions, and it's through that diversity that we actually end up making the right decisions. So thank you very much for being willing to
be here
today.
Thank you very much, Senator. Thank you.
I will close that public hearing. And I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Wally Hazen to the Oregon Educators Benefit Board.
Chair Devlin, committee members, thank you for having me here today. My name is Wally Hazen from Coos Bay, Oregon. I am applying for the Oregon Educators Benefit Board.
I've been elected to my local Coos Bay board since 1994. I've played a very active role, and I've taken this position very seriously to the point where I presently serve on the Oregon School Board Association Board of Directors, and I serve on the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board. But my real background here and benefit for this assignment will be for my local board, where I've played an active role in the insurance committee, where I've looked at policies and broken them down. I've served on the negotiating team, where I realized the value that healthcare has to our employees. Having said this, I also, in my private background, I'm a small employer. I've been in the grocery store business. I have restaurants, real estate, and something I failed to disclose, I am a small blueberry farmer. So my diversity in this background, I think, is immense. This OEB board, having been enacted in March of 2007, I think has undertaken a huge job in the state. And I hope my diversity, once again, will simply add to the success of this program. So I'm offering my service here and looking forward to being part of this group. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Hazen? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming here today. I will close that public hearing. And everyone's here in person.
No.
Oh, we're going to do them all.
We're going to do them all on the phone. Go ahead and open up everybody.
Okay, I'm opening a public hearing on the appointments of Robert Brown, Brian DeVore, Gregory Fraser, Steve Gordon, Bridget Haggerty, William Hockett, Rick Howard, Marie Leper, Robert Risk, Sharon Stamphill, and Dave Wyden to the Health Information Technology Oversight Council.
He is here. She is here. And Steve is here.
Okay.
Chair?
Brian DeVore is not here. Yes, Senator Atkinson.
There's a lot of laughter on your end. Is that in the...
Actually, it's from outside the committee room, so we probably should make sure that the doors are closed.
Thank you.
Okay.
We're laughing at you, Senator Atkinson.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Okay, so Robert's here.
Gregory and Bridget.
Okay. Mr. Brown, would you come forward? Mr. Fraser and Ms. Haggerty, would you come forward? Please begin.
So my name is Robert Brown. I'm from Portland, Oregon, and I want to thank the committee and Senator Devlin for the opportunity to talk to you about my appointment, my nomination for the committee. I am a retired person from Intel, so I bring some technical knowledge on the health information technology front, plus I'm also a consumer advocate working for on the board of Oregon Health Action Campaign, and I'm a leader in the Metropolitan Alliance for Common Good. I feel very strongly that information is necessary if we're going to bring costs down. We have to start gathering information, I think having a consistent system across the state for gathering health information, I think, will be a great benefit. And I'm looking forward to contributing to that effort, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Greg Fraser. I'm from Sublimity, but I work here in Salem as Medical Director of Information Systems and Informatics for Mid-Valley Independent Physicians Association. I'm looking forward to the opportunity to help use healthcare information technology ultimately to improve the quality and efficiency of healthcare for the citizens of Oregon. I believe my experience as a family physician and in medical informatics, I can, if confirmed, make a positive contribution. And of course, thank you for the opportunity to testify today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Please.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Bridget Haggerty. I live in Canby, Oregon, and I am here representing Oregon Health and Science University. I have over 10 years' experience implementing information technology solutions, both to improve clinical care and improve business processes at Oregon Health and Science University. I am pleased to have the opportunity to serve on this committee should you choose to confirm that appointment, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you very much for coming.
Can you go outside and remind the people that have a committee hearing going on?
Mr. William Hockett, Mr. Rick Howard, and Ms. Marie Laper.
Chair Devlin?
Yes.
Members of the committee, my name is William Hockett. I reside in Portland, Oregon. I work for the ODS companies. I've had a 30-plus year career in healthcare technology and would look forward to the opportunity to use that experience to better healthcare in the state of Oregon for its citizens. Thank you.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Rick Howard, the Chief Information Officer for the Department of Human Services. Thank you for the opportunity for consideration to serve on this council. I come to this assignment deeply familiar with the diverse programs of the agency and the data systems that are used to support those programs. In the course of my duties, it's been a pleasure to work with many of the stakeholders here in the healthcare system in Oregon. I believe that the adoption of health information technology and the creation of a statewide health information exchange network will be really essential to create an information-rich environment to improve the quality of the healthcare system here in Oregon. Thanks for the opportunity to testify here today. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Hi, my name is Marie Laper, and I live in Corvallis, Oregon. I'm employed by Benton County in the Health Services Division. My interest in Health Information Technology Oversight Council is to bring to the conversation the public health and federally qualified health center perspectives, experiences, and needs. I look forward to working with other council members in developing recommendations so that the potential for health information technology to improve health system efficiency, patient safety, and reducing the cost of health care is realized. It would be an honor to serve you and the citizens of Oregon in our efforts to coordinate electronic health records and electronic health information technology exchange. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and of course, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions for this panel? Thank you very much for coming here today. Should we go to the phone, or do you want to? Mr. Robert Risk, if you'd please come forward, and Mr. Dave Wyden. And then, committee, we're going to go to four parties on the telephone. And while you're getting prepared, I would hope that, our technology here that is 20 years behind the times actually doesn't fail us today on the telephone.
Go ahead.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Chair Devlin and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Robert Risk. I'm from Hermiston, Oregon, representing District 29, the Senate. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today and ask for your confirmation to my appointment to the Health Information Technology Oversight Committee. The experience that I bring to the committee certainly is a voice from rural healthcare, which our challenges are no different than those throughout the state, whether it's big city or not, and that has to do with the challenges of access to information, providing interoperability. And the experience that I bring to this committee, I add to the pool of resources you've already heard from, and my interests are that of making sure that we take the money that's given to the state and spend it wisely on developing a health information technology system, providing and extending access to our providers, not only statewide, but if done right, will be one that can be interoperable at nationwide. And I'd like to see us be a model of what we develop that can be used as an example of what health information technology should be.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dave Wyden. I reside in Dayton, Oregon. I've spent the last 39 years as a pharmacist in the state of Oregon, and the bulk of my career has been involved in technology with pharmacy, reducing healthcare costs as well as improving service. I served on the HIAC Commission that is the predecessor to this council and would request your appointment to this council. Thank you.
That's not what we're doing, actually.
Any questions? Well, thank you both for coming.
Thank you.
We are now going to go to four parties on the telephone. Who do we have first?
May not be. It should be Brian DeVore.
Okay.
They're actually all going to be on together.
Okay. The parties on the telephone are going to be Brian DeVore, Steve Gordon,
and Sharon
Stamphill. And just so those in the audience know, this is a little bit unusual. We have three fairly large boards all being appointed today. There are no reappointments. These are new boards, actually. Yes, Mr. DeVore, are you there?
Not there.
The alcohol and drug.
Let's go to teacher's names.
Here they are.
He's got
right
to be
here
on the phone. Let's go.
Okay, we close that public hearing, and I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Jeffrey Matsumoto to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. If you please come forward, identify yourself for the record, and just give us a couple minutes on your background and your interest.
Certainly. Chair Devlin and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jeffrey Matsumoto. I live in Portland, Oregon. I'm here seeking your confirmation and support for my appointment to the Teachers and Standards and Practices Commission. I chose to pursue be a commissioner for TSPC because I wanted to ensure those entering into the profession of education would be provided the very best programs so that they can offer the best services to our state's students. I also take seriously the roles and responsibilities of the commission in keeping and holding those already in the profession to the highest standards and meeting the needs of our students. And I would be happy to answer any questions.
I hope I don't mispronounce your name, but are there any questions for Mr. Matsumoto?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is not for Mr. Matsumoto. It whose confirmation I intend to support. It has to do with the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, which is utterly unconcerned with competency of teachers in the classroom. The board does do the background research necessary to make sure that they have completed the education as they have represented in their applications to the various boards, to school boards and to employers, and that they are fit in terms of their past records to teach. But nothing in the charge of the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission involves the commission in any way in the competency of teachers who are currently teaching. And I think that is an impression that's created by the name of the agency, the institution. It has nothing to do with this applicant's willingness or fitness or desire to serve, which I perceive as excellent, as qualifications. But I believe we ought to refocus the Teacher Standard Practices Commission on teacher competency. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Ferrioli. Thank you very much for appearing here today.
Thank you.
I will close that public hearing, open a public hearing on the State Plumbing Board, and Ms. Robin Schaefer is here, I believe. And Ms. Schaefer, you know, by now you've seen the routine.
Good
Thank you, Senator Devlin and committee members. My name is Robin Sheffer, and I'm here for confirmation to appointment to the Oregon State Plumbing Board. My background is in 1990, I started the apprenticeship through Local 290, served the apprenticeship, worked in the field for 17 years, and 4 years ago started inspecting with the City of Gresham. I teach classes through 290 off and on, ongoing journeyman training courses. Was addressed that the opportunity to be appointed for the position on the board was going to be open and asked if I had an interest in it, and I have an interest in it. Are there any questions? This is a new process for me, so I'm learning.
Please be at ease. It's, any questions?
No questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much for appearing here today. Okay, I'm closing that public hearing, opening a public hearing for the Oregon Board of Dentistry. Mr. Brandon Schmidt. Schwint. Welcome.
Thank you. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Brandon Schwint, and I live in Portland, Oregon. I've been nominated by the governor to serve on Oregon's Board of Dentistry. I currently practice full-time as a pediatric dentist in Tigard, Oregon. I look forward to serve Oregon's citizens by ensuring they receive the highest quality oral health care. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Schmidt? Seeing none, thank you again for coming here. Let's see who we've got. I'm going to close that public hearing, and we do have one person here in person. I'm going to open a public hearing on the Cultural Development Trust, and Ms. Heidi McBride, are you here? Ms. McBride, please come forward. McBride, please identify yourself for the record.
I'm Heidi McBride. Good afternoon, Chair Devlin, members of the committee. I'm Heidi McBride. I'm a native Oregonian and an appointee to the Oregon Cultural Trust Board. I'm the founder and owner of a growing gallery and art consultancy located in Portland, and I share the Cultural Trust values and the state's values for creating a greater access to, preservation of, and thoughtful integration of arts and cultures and the humanities throughout the state and in individual lives. I also embrace culture and creativity, not only as a great contributor to a well-rounded community, but as a valuable economic catalyst and resource. I have a background in business development, communications, and marketing, over 10 years involvement as an advocate and volunteer in the arts and a supporter of the Cultural Trust. And I look forward to and would love to share my energy and creativity and experience with the board. Okay. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, Ms. McBride. If you please stay for a second, Ms. McBride.
That's great.
So I can see if there are any questions. Any questions for Ms. McBride?
Make your getaway while you can.
I'm sure.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming. Okay. Who is this?
Brian DeVore. Hello there.
Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing and reopen a public hearing
on the Health Information Technology Oversight Committee.
On the Health Information Technology Oversight.
Mr.
DeVore.
Mr. Devlin, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. We have a few problems with technology here today.
I'm sure it's a software issue and not a hardware problem.
Well, if you knew how old some of our hardware is, you might question that.
Go ahead.
Please proceed. You just need to identify yourself for the record, talk to us a little bit about your background for no more than just a couple of minutes about why you want to serve.
Sure. Chair Devlin and members of the committee, I apologize for not being there in person, but thanks for the chance to address you very quickly. My name is Brian DeVore from Intel Corporation, the Director of State Health Policy. Obviously, Intel is a large employer in the state of Oregon, as well as a technology innovator, and I think we can bring, hopefully some insight and perspective from both sides of the House to the committee, and we look forward to working with the fellow members of the board to really move forward the technology agenda, really empower, hopefully, the citizens of Oregon toward better health and not so much trying to fix the health care system. So I think I'll hopefully be the advocate or the advocate for the patient. As long as what we do improves their care and improves their lives, I think that will be a worthy goal.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. DeVore. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you for your willingness to serve and talking to us today here on the telephone. Now I'm going to go to Mr. Steve Gordon. Do we have...
Good afternoon, Chair Devlin. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, you're coming through loud and clear.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, and thank you to the members of the committee for the opportunity to speak with you by telephone. For the record, my name is Dr. Steve Gordon. I have been a licensed physician in the state of Oregon since 1996. Presently, I have the real privilege to serve as the Vice President and Chief Quality Officer for Peace Health in Oregon, and I'm speaking to you today from the great city of Springfield. I think it might warrant pointing out that despite perhaps some technical challenges getting started, the fact that I'm speaking to you by telephone and being able to hear and see the committee hearings by video link is a perfect model for the kind of care that we need to bring to all Oregonians within the healthcare environment. So if we can do it here for a public setting for a committee chair, let's hold that out as a vision for all Oregonians as it relates to healthcare. My personal passion and commitment links back to the beginning of my career. I'm absolutely committed to the triple aim of healthcare. As called out in the Oregon Health Fund Board's summary recommendation of this past year, those being namely the objectives for a healthy population and extraordinary patient care for all, with a foremost emphasis on patient safety and quality outcomes and extraordinary patient experience. And lastly, reasonable cost, per capita cost shared in an equitable way by the entire population. I think these are three aims that we can all rally around as we move forward, and that we are at a critical inflection point for promoting and accelerating the adoption of electronic health records and the meaningful exchange of health information as a driving means to achieve those ends. I'm absolutely thrilled for the honor to serve State of Oregon on the Health Information Technology Oversight Council, and I'm particularly privileged to have been asked to chair the body and be delighted to answer any questions. And just know my deep appreciation to all of you for hearing my nomination.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Gordon. Any questions for Mr. Gordon? Seeing none, again, thank you for your willingness to serve. Ms. Sharon Stamphill?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Sharon Stamphill, and I reside in Sutherland, Oregon. I'm the health director for the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Tribe of Indians, which is located at the tribe's government offices in Roseburg, Oregon. I have 18 years of experience working with tribes across the country and their healthcare needs, and one of the most significant things that we here at the tribe have been able to do is improve our healthcare system for our members and our employees by successfully implementing the Federal Indian Health Services EHR. We are the first tribe our size in the country to be able to do this, and after 4 years of implementing, I feel we're in a really good position to not only help other tribes in their efforts, but also our community partners. And with some of the lessons learned and things such as that, especially in the preparation phases. I'm also a delegate of the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board, and this is a board that is represented by each of the 43 recognized tribes here in Oregon, Idaho, and Washington, so we're kind of crossing borders there. And the means to form a work group for all tribes is already set up, and so I think I can be a big advocate in that area. I'd be honored to serve on this committee to bring our experiences that we've had here to all of our Oregon partners and I want to thank you and the committee for allowing me to speak to you today. I'd be happy to answer any questions or anything.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Stamphill. Any questions? I believe there are no questions at this time, but thank you again for your willingness to serve, and we'll take action on the appointment a little bit later today. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to close that public hearing, and are we going to be ready for the alcohol?
Let's go ahead.
Okay, open the public hearing on the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission. We're waiting for Mr. Brown.
Phone. And then I'm going to take about a 7 or 8 minute break.
He's really time sensitive.
Do we have anybody left? We have to go to immediate, right?
No, he's our last one.
Okay.
Ted, we are going to come down. Is he going to be
back? Let's see. More. Let's see. Who's on this?
He's for which one? Remind me.
Drug and alcohol thing.
Oh, the big one.
Yeah.
Another one I knew.
He's my constituent. I watch out for my constituents.
You have too many constituents.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on the phone.
Mr. Brown.
Hello?
Mr. Brown, please just identify yourself for the record. Give us a little bit, a minute or two of your background, and we'll see if there are any questions.
My name is Dr. George Brown. I am the President and Chief Executive Officer of Legacy Health System in Portland, Oregon. My background is that of a gastroenterologist who's practiced in the Army for 26 years and subsequently spent half of that time in the Army as an administrator, retiring in the Great Surgery General. Spent 10 years at Multicare Health System as the Chief Operating Officer, and now I am the Chief Executive Officer at Legacy Health System.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Brown? Seeing none, thank you very much for being willing to appear here by telephone, and thank you for your willingness to serve.
Thank you, sir. I look forward to it.
Okay. What we're going to do now is we're in recess for about 7-8 minutes, about 7 minutes till we'll reconvene. But I think actually it would benefit, even though you've been waiting a long time, for a few people in the audience to have a chance to go to the restroom or to stretch. And I know it would benefit the committee members and the staff. So we will come back in just about 7 minutes. We'll recess. Senator Atkinson. Reconvene the Senate Interim Committee on Rules for September 29, 2009, and I will open a public hearing on the appointment of Timothy Frew and Michael Weaver to the Oregon Electrical and Elevator Board. If you both would please come forward, decide which order you're going to go in, state your name for the record, and give us a couple minutes about why you want to serve on the board.
Good afternoon, Senator Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Timothy Frew. I'm currently the business manager of IBW Local 280 in Tangent, Oregon. I've been in the electrical trade for 25 years. It's been very good to me and my family, and now I'm able to give something back to the industry by serving as a volunteer on the electrical and elevator board. Oregon's strong commitment to code compliance and licensing has created one of the best records of consumer protection and safety in the country. I'm interested in doing my part to help assure that we continue to be a leader by providing Oregon citizens and businesses with safe and durable electrical installations of the highest quality built by qualified electrical workers. Thank you.
Please.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Mike Weaver. I live in Corvallis, Oregon. I'm an electrical contractor. I have offices in Bend, Lincoln City, and Corvallis. I have been in the trade for 23 years. I started out in the trade as an apprentice. I'm currently the signing supervisor for our shop. I am very proud of the license that I hold in my pocket. I run the day-to-day operations in our shop, and I feel very strongly about the licensing laws for safety of Oregonians, and for that reason I feel I can serve the state of Oregon and very well. Thank you for letting me have the opportunity to testify.
Okay. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you both for coming here today. I know the importance of the work that you do. I recognize that the public actually, in some cases, doesn't know that we actually have boards that examine these issues, but I do very much appreciate the your willingness to serve.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
I'll close that public hearing, and I will open a public hearing on the appointment of Jim Carter to the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Portland. Mr. Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I am Jim Carter. I am currently general counsel at Nike in Portland, Beaverton. I grew up in Pendleton. I have lived in Portland all my professional life. Practiced in a small law firm in Portland for 20 years before I went to Nike 12 years ago. And I have an interest in trade and tourism and its impact on the state. And I think this is a way I can help the public with my participation on the port and in its business.
Any questions for Mr. Carter? Well, thank you very much, Mr. Carter, for your willingness to serve. I think we all recognize the importance of ports and the Port of Portland, which I think actually sometimes Senator Nelson refers to as the Port of Oregon. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
I will close that public hearing. And I am opening a public hearing on the appointment of Stephen Bender to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. Mr. Bender.
Chair Devlin, Senator,
yes.
Thanks for having me. For identification purposes, I'm Steve Bender, and for identification purposes, I'm a faculty member of the University of Oregon School of Law, the Law Factory down the road. Let me tell you a brief bit about my background. For about 20 years, I've been a teacher, an advocate, and also a scholar on Latino issues. You probably saw my background. I've written several books, participated in been on the chair of the board of social service organizations and state, local, national, and international Latino organizations. Any questions?
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Bender? In your spelling of your name, Stephen, most of us know a Steve Bender here in the building.
So. I know.
Who is a longtime analyst for the Legislative Fiscal Office. So.
comes up on occasion when we have overdue books or videos of the same name, and I know there's another key around.
Oh, there's a backstory here. Yeah, who is the one that has the late ones?
Maybe we've finally given some intrigue to the press.
We finally have a story out of today's hearing.
And if you Google, you'll get us both. places as to who's first in the
state. Well, thank you very much for your willingness.
Thank you. Thanks, sir.
Okay, I will close that public hearing, open a public hearing on the appointment of Gary Gillespie to the Lane Transit District Board. Mr. Gillespie.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to speak towards my confirmation for the Lane Transit District Board, seat number 5. My name is Gary Gillespie. I live in Eugene, Oregon. I'm a 30-plus year resident of Eugene, and I live in District Number 5. I'm interested in this position for multiple reasons as a stakeholder. Lane Transit District is my primary means of transportation. I work at the City of Eugene Public Library. I'm a 20-plus year city employee. I've been involved in transportation issues through the Citizens Advisory Committee, which promotes citizen involvement in transportation planning for the Metropolitan Planning Organization of Lane County. As president of Oregon AFSCME Council 75, we own property within the Lane Transit District, and we have employees who pay to the payroll tax assessments for the district. I've been the president of two neighborhood associations within that district. I'm a strong advocate for alternative and mass transportation throughout the Northwest region, and I'm looking forward to answering any questions you may have.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Gillespie? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming
Great.
Here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for your willingness to serve. I'll close that public hearing, open a public hearing on the appointment of Kate Lieber to the Psychiatric Security Review Board. Yes.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. My name is Kate Lieber. I am from Portland, Oregon. Thank you, members of the committee. thank you for this opportunity to present some information on my interest in the PSRB. I believe quite strongly in the need for citizens to perform public service. As a former prosecutor, I identify strongly with the public safety mission of the PSRB, and I'm keenly aware of the important role the PSRB plays in the criminal justice system. I believe my expertise as an attorney with deep trial experience will help add value to the hearings and help further the mission of the board. I'm honored and grateful to serve. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions?
I just have to make a comment. I really appreciate Ms. Lieber's willingness to serve, even though she's my neighbor at Mount Hood, and she'd still be willing to serve, you know, knowing how the legislature works. So I appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate that comment, Senator Metzger, but I do also believe this is probably one of the hardest boards to serve on, given what your role is. So
thank you.
I think Senator
that.
Metzger would congratulate you also on that.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. I'll close that hearing, and I will open a public hearing on the appointment of Alethea Miller to the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. Ms. Miller, are you here? Hi, Ms. Miller. Just come forward. Be at ease. Just state your name for the record.
Okay.
Talk to us for a couple minutes about your qualifications and why you want to serve.
Okay. Hello, Chair Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Alethea Miller. I'm from Portland, Oregon. I'm interested in serving on the Oregon Student Assistance Commission so I can further my understanding of politics and policies. I've been interested in politics for a really long time, and I feel this would be a really good opportunity. And then also, currently I'm a junior political science major at William University, and this would also be my opportunity to sit on the commission and be a part of the student body since there's only one other student representative. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for your willingness to serve.
Thanks.
Close that public hearing. I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Pamela Ruona to the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Commission. Please proceed.
Thank you. Chair Devlin and members of the committee, my name is Pam Rona. I am a resident of Salem, Oregon, but I work in Portland. I am the Director of Policy and Programs for the Oregon Healthcare Association. I appreciate this opportunity today to speak to you. As you know, I've been appointed by the Governor for the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee. I work for Oregon Healthcare Association, which is a membership organization that represents not-for-profit and for-profit nursing facilities, assisted living, residential care facilities, senior housing, in-home care, home health agencies, along with 200 business partner members. As a director of policy and programs for OHCA, my focus is on our members' workforce development issues, including recruitment, retention, training, safety, and employer-employee relations. I also represent our members on a variety of statewide committees and coalitions related to workforce issues. Specifically, in the past 2 years, I have represented our members on the Oregon Coalition for Healthcare Ergonomics. This coalition has worked with both acute and long-term care to raise awareness of safe patient and resident handling issues and to decrease musculoskeletal injuries in direct care staff, as well as increase safety and care of residents and patients. I further provide technical assistance, information, and guidance to our members on OSHA requirements, safety committees, safe resident handling, personal protective equipment, infectious disease control, and more, all of which can impact our members' employees and their workers' compensation claims. I have a master's degree in human relations with a focus on organizational development and leadership. I have a general understanding of workers' compensation issues, and in the past I worked briefly for workers' compensation in the state of North Dakota and worked also in North Dakota and here for the state of Oregon's insurance commissioners. As a state member, as a staff member of the Oregon Healthcare Association, it is my job to promote high-quality long-term care services, effective advocacy and professional development opportunities that are designed to enhance health care, housing, and supportive social services provided by our members. As such, if I am confirmed as a member of the Workers' Compensation Management and Labor Advisory Committee, I will endeavor to represent the views of our long-term care members and to support a workers' compensation system that is balanced and fair, adequate, affordable, efficient, stable, flexible, and predictable. Therefore, I ask for your support in approving my appointment to the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee. Thank you. If you have any questions.
Okay. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming here today. And thank you for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm closing the public hearing, opening a public hearing on the appointment of Anthony Biglin, Jack Costello, Heather Crow Martinez, Judy Cushing, Dennis Dotson, Sarah Goforth, Timothy Hartnett, Janet Holcomb, Aaron Hubert, John King, Dennis McCarthy, Lisa Rook Lee, Randy Schoen, Timothy Thompson, Ted Wheeler to the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission. The persons here in person we will start off with, first Ms. Cushing, Ms. Goforth, and Mr. Hartnett. My apologies to the period of time that you have to wait. This is an unusually long day in terms of the number of appointments we have. We usually do not have this many. So, please begin.
Chair Devlin and members of the subcommittee, my name is Judy Cushing, and I reside in Lake Oswego, Oregon. I am honored to be nominated to the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission, and I am absolutely thrilled that the legislature has chosen to form this new body to address alcohol and drug issues and issues connected to corrections here in Oregon. I've had an opportunity to work in the field of alcohol and drug prevention and treatment referral for 30 years, and know there is so much more that Oregon can do to address the issues that so impact children and families and quality of life in our communities. I appreciate the leadership of the legislature informing the commission. I would be honored to serve if you chose to nominate me and approve my nomination. Thank you.
Thank you. Please.
Good afternoon, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. I, too, am honored to have been appointed to this very important commission. You can hear me. Make sure you can hear me. I feel that Oregon...
Oh, could you please state your name again
for
the record?
For the record, my name is Sarah Goforth. I reside in Portland, Oregon. I am the Director of Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services for a nonprofit in Portland, Oregon. I am delighted to be appointed to this commission because I believe that Oregon State is poised for change in the service delivery system of alcohol drug treatment services and prevention. My specialty has been these last years in co-occurring disorder treatment, that is the treatment of people with both mental health challenges as well as alcohol and drug. I was a teacher for many years in high-density drug-affected areas, so I have a huge interest in increased prevention efforts for children. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hartnett.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Tim Hartnett. I live in Portland, Oregon. I'm the executive director of CODA, Portland's oldest alcohol and drug treatment agency. I'm also president of OPRA, the Oregon Prevention, Education, and Recovery Association, an association of treatment prevention and staff development organizations that represent the lion's share of providers in the state the state contract with. I've had a work life of 29 years in the helping field that has spanned being a school teacher in a juvenile corrections institution all the way to running the state of New Hampshire's Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse. I'm grateful to you for your consideration and would be eager to serve on the commission and bring my work-life experiences to create a good state plan for Oregon.
Any questions for either of the three? Well, we know the challenges that this group is going to face, and we know how significant these issues are at the state level, and I'm sure you know that we always will face the challenges of limited resources. So we're looking for as much work as we can in best practices to make sure that what we do have is utilized as well as it possibly can be. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, now, committee, we will go to three parties on the telephone. Mr. Biglin, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Biglin, if you would please just state your name for the record and then tell us in just a couple of minutes your interest in serving, and we'll see if there are any questions.
Okay, thank you. My name is Anthony Biglin. I am a resident of Eugene, Oregon. I'm a senior scientist at Oregon Research Institute. For the last 25 or so years, I've been doing research on prevention of most kinds of youth problem behaviors, tobacco, alcohol, other drug use, antisocial behavior, and risky sexual behavior. I think I can help the commission to come up with the most evidence-based ways of making a difference on all of these problems. I recently participated as a member of a committee of the Institute of Medicine on prevention. The Institute of Medicine is chartered by the federal government to review the knowledge base on issues of human well-being related to medicine and psychology and so on. Our report, which was just issued a couple months ago, showed that there has been tremendous progress in the identification of effective preventive interventions relevant to preventing the entire range of youth problems. So that's an expertise I think I can bring to the commission and hopefully bring more of these kinds of interventions to Oregon.
Okay. Any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Burdick.
Hi, Tony. It's Jenny Burdick. I just wanted to thank you and to point out to the committee that the Oregon Research Institute, which Mr. Biglin is a senior scientist, you're director now.
Well, I'm the director of the Center on Early Adolescence.
Correct. They've done truly groundbreaking work on tobacco, tobacco prevention for kids, violence prevention, drug prevention, and it's just a wonderful group, and I just wanted to call you out for that during this hearing.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Biglum. Now we'll go to Mr. Costello. Mr. Jack Costello, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, I'm Jack Costello. My home address is 608 Southeast 62nd Avenue in Portland. I'm currently the regional vice president for Optum Behavioral Health and for the Northwest region. And I'm interested in serving on this. I've spent 39 years working with Oregonians that have substance abuse and mental health issues. And I'm interested in working on this group to help determine the best use of the funding that is currently going to the prevention and treatment of alcohol and drug issues to assure that we're treating as many Oregonians in the most effective ways as possible. So yeah, I appreciate you considering me for this. If you have questions, I'm certainly open to answering.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Costello? Seeing none, thank you very much for your willingness to appear here today. Ms. Heather Crow Martinez, are you there?
Yes, I'm present.
Yes, please identify yourself for the record and just give us a brief 1 or 2 minutes about why you want to serve.
My name is Heather Crow Martinez, and I reside on the Warm Springs Indian Reservation on the Jefferson County side. I have been employed at Best Care Treatment Services, which is a community mental health and drug and alcohol treatment agency for the past 12 years. And I had served on the Governor's Alcohol and Drug Council for about a year and a half before we voted to evolve into the commission. And I have been working hard on the Governor's Council. I worked on the Domino Effect Report, and I'm just really interested in working out and continuing to figure out ways to make treatment, drug and alcohol treatment services available to Oregonians who are in need of those services so that we can figure out some other effective ways to treat them besides just incarceration. And I'm very interested also in the prevention of addiction. And I'd be happy to answer any specific questions you might have regarding my appointment.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Martinez? Seeing none, thank you very much for your willingness to appear here today.
Thank you.
Now we are going to go to three parties that are here for the same commission. Ms. Janet Holcomb, Mr. Aaron Hubert, and Ms. Elisa Rookley. And again, I apologize if I've mispronounced any names. At the end of this, all I actually have to say all these names in the motion, so I wouldn't stay around for that.
Good afternoon, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. I'm Ms. Erin Hubert, so I'll just correct that one there.
Okay.
And I reside in Lake Oswego, Oregon. My interest in being involved in this task force really starts from things that happened in my personal life with my family and losses of brothers to drugs and alcohol and suicide. And I was raised by Warden June Cleaver and Harriet and Nelson? Harriet and Ozzy. So one of those families, you wouldn't think that would happen. And there weren't a lot of resources for my parents at the time, and I saw them struggle so much. And so now I work in the broadcast business. I run 7 radio stations in Portland. It has nothing to do with this, but through my community work, what has happened on the personal side has driven me to get involved in different issues around this. I serve as the chair of the Citizens Crime Commission and work on the board of Oregon Partnership, and so have been exposed to a lot of good work on really inefficiencies. You talked about limited funds and where they're going. I've seen a lot of things around inefficiencies and redundancy with the services that we have. Have learned a lot about that, and so between the personal passion and then the business side of me that knows we can allocate those resources in a much more productive way, very passionate about being involved in this work. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Chair Devlin and members of the committee, my name is Janet Holcomb. I live in Corvallis, Oregon, and I'm very honored to have been selected to serve on the Drug and Alcohol Policy Commission, and I request your support for my nomination. I've been involved in the criminal justice system in Benton County for about 20 years and have seen over and over again the same people coming through the system because of their addiction to drugs and alcohol. And throughout the years, I served on the local Alcohol and Drug Planning Commission, as well as our local Public Safety Coordinating Council, and developed what I think is one of the best practices in the state of Oregon to address substance abuse and the crime related to that, and that is through drug treatment courts. I'm the president of the Oregon Association of Drug Court Professionals. I, when I became a judge about 12 years ago, pulled together a lot of community partners to start a drug treatment court in Benton County, and I have seen so many people who had been through that system since I was a prosecutor almost 20 years ago now turn their lives around as a result of treatment courts and their response to effective interventions for substance abusers. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, thank you for considering me for this appointment to the Alcohol and Drug Policy Committee. My name is Alyssa Rooklay, which sounds like a disease that nobody can pronounce, and you will certainly not the first, nor will be the last, to mispronounce my name. I am a proud public defender from Eugene, Oregon, and I've dedicated my career to the defense of the indigent and, as such, doing justice. For the last 12 years, I have become dismayed and disillusioned by the lack of access to drug and alcohol treatment for my clients. For the past 11 and a half years, I represented teens and adults in the adult criminal system. But in the past 6 months, I've become a juvenile lawyer, practicing only in juvenile court with delinquency and dependency cases. I'm currently serving on the Sponsors Board, which is a community-based organization providing reentry services to those persons newly released from prison. I'm uniquely qualified to serve on this commission because of the perspective I feel that I can give to basically from birth to, unfortunately, sometimes death of my clients. As a dependency lawyer, I represent babies born to drug-addicted parents. I also represent parents whose untreated drug and alcohol issues demands that their children be removed from their care. As a criminal defense lawyer, I represent delinquent teens charged with crimes that are more likely than not the result of untreated drug and alcohol issues. As an adult defender for so many years, I represented the gamut of, you know, people who graffitied to people who murdered as a result of their drug and alcohol addictions. There's also a dearth of people, this was mentioned before by someone and I hadn't thought about it, people who self-medicate with drugs and alcohol because they're dual diagnosis mental health needs, persons who can't afford mental health treatment and they therefore use drugs and alcohol to self-medicate. Every day I see the devastating effects that drug and alcohol have on my clients and the disastrous effects on children in our community. I'm confident that my perspective can elucidate the needs of the underserved and help form policy that will create both uniformity as well as delivery of services throughout Oregon. I welcome the opportunity to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions for this panel? Seeing none, thank you all for coming here today. And thank you for your willingness to serve. We're now going to go to the telephone for the next six parties on this mission. Mr. Dotson, are you there? Mr. Dotson? Mr. King, are you there? Who is on the line? Is anyone on the line?
Just me.
Just you.
Atkinson. Why do you want to be on the commission, Mr. Atkinson?
Okay, Mr. Dotson?
Yes.
Mr. Dodson, if you'd please just identify yourself for the record. Talk to us for a minute or two about why you want to serve on this commission, and we will be voting later on these appointments.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Dennis Dodson, 225 West Olive Street in Newport, Oregon, and I'm the sheriff of Lincoln County.
And Mr. Dodson, why do you want to serve?
Well, the desire to serve on the governor's commission stems from really 34 years of law enforcement experience and exposure to alcohol and other drug issues. Been involved with a number of alcohol and drug advocacy groups in Lincoln County over the past two decades, and that opened my mind to prevention and treatment alternatives. So, in learning of the magnitude of alcohol and drug issues affecting our population has strengthened my resolve, I believe, to assist in seeking solutions to the use of and abuse of all drugs. And as you're aware, many people who are incarcerated in our jails and prisons, because of their choices, many of them have been influenced by their use of drugs and the abuse of those. So I see this as an opportunity for me to participate at a higher level that has the potential to benefit our citizens statewide.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Dodson? Seeing none, Mr. Dodson, thank you very much for your willingness to serve and your service also as the sheriff.
Well, thank you for your opportunity to testify for you today.
Thank you. Mr. King, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Mr. King, if you just identify yourself for the record and tell us in the next minute or two why you want to serve.
Certainly. My name is John King, and I live at 4873 Northwest Promenade Terrace. I'm in my car driving the moment I got the call.
You won't be able to do that after January 1st.
That's legal up until January 1st.
I'm free, though. But in any case, Mr. Chairperson and committee, I feel honored and privileged the opportunity to serve my community and state and to take this opportunity to turn something that was negative and destructive in my life and try and share with the greater community the manner in which I was able to change my life and able to become someone who's a services committee. I currently serve on the Miracle Club Board of Directors as their media outreach director, and I've also have a lot of experience in the video and production with Portland Community Media as a volunteer, whereas I've produced several videos that, you know, have detailed and shown what we're currently accomplishing at the Miracles Club, and that we're producing a 40-unit complex for clean and sober housing, as well as a brand new club on Martin Luther King Boulevard, and that we're showing people that it is possible to recover, and long-term recovery is possible through mutual aid. And families and adults and children of people who are drug addicted can follow in our footsteps and be able to learn a new way of life. And I would like to learn what the other committee members have experienced and incorporate that into my knowledge base to help my fellow citizens.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for your willingness to serve, and we'll take action on your appointment a little bit later in this meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. McCarthy, are you there?
I am. Chair Devlin and committee members, my name is Dennis McCarthy. My home address is 776 Carrera Lane in Lake Oswego. I'm a professor of public health and preventive medicine at Oregon Health and Science University. I apologize for not appearing in person. I'm in Madison, Wisconsin today. I believe that my skills and experience can contribute to the mission of the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission. I'm an alcohol and drug treatment researcher with 30-plus years of experience working with addiction prevention and treatment programs. My experience includes 5 years as Director of Substance Abuse Services for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I appreciate the opportunity to testify, and I'm prepared to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions? Seeing no questions, again, thank you for your willingness to call in today, and thank you for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
Mr. Schoen? Mr. Schoen?
Understaffed and overworked. Understaffed.
Hello, Mr. Schoen. We're being recorded.
Okay.
Can I turn this over to
him? Yeah. Mr. Schoen, thank you. Junie Burdick, I'm standing in for the chair here for a moment. If you would give your name for the record and just tell us why you want to be part of this commission.
My name is Randy Schoen, S-C-H-O-E-N. And primarily, I think I want to represent law enforcement interests on this commission, but also I really have a strong belief in the importance of recovery and treatment. And also have concerns that we have sometimes competing interests or limited resources. And in those competing resources, I think we're all after the same results to some degree, where we understand the value of prevention, and we understand the value of recovery and treatment. So I think I offer something to this commission from a law enforcement perspective, and I can also offer support in the recovery and treatment arena, but also I have a responsibility to try to help protect public safety interests as well.
Thank you, Mr. Schoen, and thank you for your willingness to serve on this commission. We will be voting on these appointments a little later in the meeting.
Okay.
In the meanwhile, do we have Timothy Thompson?
Yes.
Okay. Would you just give your name and tell us why you want to be on this commission?
Yes. Good afternoon, Senator Burdick and members of the committee. My name is Tim Thompson. I reside in La Grande, Oregon, and I'm serving as the Union County District Attorney. And in this particular, on this particular commission, I represent Oregon's 36 elected district attorneys. I've spent nearly 30 years as a prosecutor in a couple of different locations in Oregon, and so I bring a law enforcement and treatment perspective, I think, to the commission that would be valuable. I consider it a great privilege to be nominated position on the
Alcohol and
Drug Policy Commission and look forward to working with the legislature and the commission. If there are any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Thank you, and thank you for your willingness to serve. Senator Metzger, do you have any questions? Okay, thank you very much, and are we looking for Mr. Wheeler now?
He's on the phone, just one second.
Ted Wheeler?
Yes.
Hey, Ted, it's Jenny Burdick. I'm filling in for the chair for the moment. Would you just give your name for the record and tell us why you want to be part of this commission?
Senator, I believe I heard just the first part of that. My name is Edward Kevin Wheeler, and I believe you asked me why I'm interested.
Correct.
I'm interested because the issues of alcohol, drug addiction in our community are having significant overall costs to our community, both in terms of the pressures on the public welfare system, in terms of the cost to our justice system, and the lost productivity and opportunities for our community in terms of lost wages, broken families, and missed opportunities for people who suffer from addiction.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for your service on Multnomah County Commission, definitely, and your willingness to be part of this commission. Senator Metzger, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay, thank you. We will be voting on these appointments in a few minutes here during this hearing, and thank you for being available by phone.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we will close the public hearing on the Commission on
Alcohol and Drug Policy.
Mm-hmm. And we will open a public hearing on the appointments of the following appointments to the Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board. All of these. Michael Adelman, Maggie Bennington Davis, Becky Child, Nona Clark, Robin Henderson, Brant Johnson, Corbett Monica, Herbert Ozer, Janet Spinoza, Frank Warner Jr., Deborah Weston,
and these three first.
And we will start out by the people who have actually stuck with us here in the audience, Michael Adelman, Brant Johnson, and Corbett Monica. Welcome to the Rules Committee. Why don't we start from here?
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Adelman. Chair Devlin, members of the committee. I'm Mike Adelman. I live here in Salem, Oregon. I was appointed by the governor's office to serve on the Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board with the goal of improving the safety, security, and care of patients. As a former patient of Oregon State Hospital, I have firsthand knowledge of living conditions there and can provide a unique perspective on this board. I have personally experienced patient-on-patient assaults, the currently crowded wards, and lockdowns when a patient escapes. I believe that my input would benefit the OSHAB as I have a different viewpoint than most of the other board members. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. We'll move through the panel and then see if there are questions. Slide to the next.
Well, Senator Devlin isn't here, but Senator Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Corbett Monica. I am the founder and executive director of Dual Diagnosis Anonymous of Oregon Incorporated, a nonprofit support group for people like myself that have mental illness and substance abuse issues. We have some 450 meetings statewide in Oregon, and 30 of those meetings occur at Oregon State Hospital. As a matter of fact, our largest group will be tonight at 5:30 in the 50 building of Oregon State Hospital, where our group is attended by 50 to 70 patients, and I think my experience as a founder of DDA, Dual Diagnosis Anonymous, my extensive experience in the field of over 30 years hopefully would contribute to this really important board considering the building of the new state hospitals here in Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Burdick, Senators, members of the committee. My name is Brant Johnson. I live here in Salem, Oregon. I'm a mental health therapist, too, at the Oregon State Hospital. I am representing the 900-plus SEIU represented employees at the Oregon State Hospital, ranging from the MHT floor staff to custodians, psychologists, social workers, groundskeepers, LPNs, food service workers, and many more. By being their spokesman, I hope to bring all those different viewpoints and experiences to the table to broaden the experience base that this advisory board has to draw from. I feel that I would bring a unique perspective to the Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board, being a floor staff that works directly with patients and hospital residents on a daily basis, gives me the knowledge and experience to advise this board on possible outcomes and effects of any proposed policies that they may bring forward. My perspective as a floor staff would give me the ability to report to the board what things actually look like on the inside of the hospital on a day-to-day basis. Thank you for your opportunity to testify today, and I would be happy to answer any questions you have for me.
Thank you very much, and thank you for coming, and thank you for your willingness to serve. Senator Metzger, do you have any questions?
No, thank you. We're
going to these okay. Thank you very much. Okay, now we'll take Herbert Ozar and Frank Spinoza. Oh, Janet. I got some bad counsel here. Janet Spinoza, is she here?
Frank Warner.
What are we doing?
It's okay. Frank Warner.
Welcome. Sorry about the confusion over the names. Okay, why don't you start?
Hi, Senator Burdick, committee. My name is Herbert Ozer. I'm from Portland, Oregon, and I'm here because I'm nominated. I'm looking forward to the opportunity to serve on the advisory board. I think my 30 years of experience in mental health and working in peer-driven organizations as well provides another unique perspective, as there are many that will be on this board. I think we can help the state of Oregon have a much better state hospital system. I look forward to helping and answering any questions the committee might have.
Okay. Any questions for the two?
Okay. Please. First of all, we messed up your name, and now we're going to mess up the order here.
Well, and I'm sure she did a very excellent job in my accent. Please proceed.
Senator Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Frank Warner, and I'm a registered nurse currently working at Oregon State Hospital. I've been a registered nurse since 1995 and have worked at Oregon State Hospital since 1999. I'm very pleased to have this opportunity to be on this board, as my colleagues have said, to be an eyes and ears for the board of what exactly policies and procedures that this board makes recommendations, how that plays out in direct patient care, and to be an advocate for our patients as a registered nurse there. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions for either of the parties? Okay. Thank you very much for appearing here today. We are now going to go to six parties on the telephone. We'll wait to see who is available. Did you knock off any of us? The singular appointments while it's gone. Okay, Miss Maggie Bennington Davis. Miss Maggie Bennington Davis, are you there?
No, this is Janet Spinoza.
Okay, well, Miss Spinoza, glad to have you here today. Would you just state your name for the record and tell us why you want to serve on this board?
My name is Janet Spinoza, and I want to serve on the board because my son has had mental illness for probably 20 years. He has been in the Oregon State Hospital for 12 years, and therefore I feel I have a lot of input from a parent's point of view to what might be done to better the system.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Spinoza? Seeing no questions, thank you very much for your willingness to serve, and best wishes also for your son.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Now, Ms. Nona Clark, or Nora Clark.
Nona Clark. Yes.
The committee administrator here has very good handwriting, but I have very bad eyesight. Please proceed.
Okay. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Nona Clark. I reside at 548 Southeast 6th Avenue, Apartment C, Hillsboro, Oregon, and I'm nominated for the Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board.
Okay. And why do you want to serve?
Well, I'd like to serve on the OSH Advisory Board because I am a person with mental illness myself. I've lived at the Oregon State Hospital for 2 years, and I now manage a drop-in center for people with mental illness. So I live the illness, and I live the lifestyle, and I would really like to do all I can do to help people with mental illness live their lives with as much happiness, health, and dignity as possible.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Clark. Any questions for Ms. Clark? Seeing none, thank you very much for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
Okay.
Robin Henderson.
Is it Henderson?
Yes.
Ms. Henderson, are you there?
Yes, this is Dr. Henderson.
Yes, Dr. Henderson, if you would please just state your name for the record, and then in the next minute or two, just tell us why you want to serve on this board.
Robin Henderson, H-E-N-D-E-R-S-O-N. The reason I'd like to serve on this board, I have been working in acute inpatient psychiatric care in the private health system in Oregon over the last 10 years. I've served on several of the task forces looking at developing alternatives and also expanding our care into rural communities. I'm from Central Oregon. I work at Cascade Healthcare Community, which has the only acute psychiatric unit east of the Cascades, and I'd like to serve on this board to help represent the interests of that side of the state specifically.
Okay. Any questions for Dr. Henderson? Seeing none, thank you very much for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Weston, are you there?
I am.
Ms. Weston, if you'd please identify yourself for the record, and if you would just talk to us for a minute or two regarding why you want to serve on this board.
Okay. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Deborah Weston, and does the committee need my address?
No, we actually do not need your address.
Okay. Well, I'm a staff attorney at the Oregon Law Center, and I handle a variety of cases specializing in administrative law. And I'm also on the Protection and Advocacy for Individuals with Mental Illness Advisory Board, which is an advisory board for the Disability Rights Oregon organization. And I'm very eager to share my skills and expertise as an attorney to help the state of Oregon improve the safety, security, and care of patients at the Oregon State Hospital. I think that kind of covers everything, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for your willingness to serve, and we'll take action on your appointment a little bit later in this committee meeting.
Okay, thank you.
We're going to recess for just about 2 to 3 minutes until we can resolve some technical difficulties. Ms. Child, are you there? Are you all transferred?
Yeah.
Ms. Child, are you there?
I am.
If you would please identify yourself for the record and just talk to us for a minute or two about why you want to serve on this board, and we'll take action on your appointment a little bit later today.
Okay, thank you. My name is Becky Child. I'm Board President of Mental Health America of Oregon. We are a statewide advocacy group, and we have long been interested in issues that take place at the hospital, concerned about quality of care and the services that people receive, as well as other issues that surround the hospital. I have been a long time advocate. At least 15 years doing mental health advocacy around the state and nationally as well. I could go on, but I'm not sure where else to go. All right.
Well, Ms. Child, we very much appreciate your willingness to serve. Do any of the committee members, Senator Atkinson and Senator Burdick, do you have any questions?
I do not.
Okay. Thank you very much, and we will take action on your appointment a little bit later.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. While we continue to work on one of these parties, we will close that public hearing, open a public hearing on the appointments of
Sarah Heineke
to the State Plumbing Board. Ms. Heineke, are you there?
I am.
Ms. Heineke, if you would state your name for the record, then talk to us for a few minutes, a couple minutes, about why you want to serve on the State Plumbing Board.
Okay. My name is Sarah Heineke, and I'm interested in serving on the State Plumbing Board. Because
I feel like my background in urban planning and development and green building consulting will lend a helpful perspective to issues of water conservation, as well as issues pertinent to training funds, commercial residential buildings. Okay. Any questions for Ms. Heineke? Seeing none, Ms. Heineke, thank you very much for your willingness to serve. We will take action on your appointment a little bit later in this committee hearing. Thank you. Okay, I will close that public hearing, and I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Anthony Julie Mancini and Bob Spelza to the Trust for Cultural Development.
Staff want to see if they can do anything to get her on the phone.
That's
I'm going to have to close that public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Ann Ferguson to the Oregon Board of Accountancy. Ms. Ferguson, are you there? Ms. Ferguson? Yes.
What are we looking like? How many more do we have?
We're doing quite well, actually. I think we may be able to conclude within probably 20 minutes or so.
Do you have a quorum right now?
With you, we do have a quorum, actually. I don't need a quorum for the public hearing portion of this, but I do need a quorum, obviously, to vote on any of these. And we can bring back one or more of the other senators on the committee.
I am here, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Senator Atkinson.
Ms. Ferguson,
are you there?
I am.
Ms. Ferguson, if you could just state your name for the record, give us a brief overview of your qualifications and why you want to serve, and we will take action on your appointment a little bit later today.
For the record, my name is Ann Ferguson, F-E-R-G-U-S-O-N. Do you need my address information?
No, we do not.
Okay. And I'm seeking confirmation for my appointment to the Oregon State Board of Accountancy.
Yes.
And it's my understanding that you have my interest form, which would list my educational background.
Yes, we have all that information, actually.
Perfect. Well, as far as my interest serving on this board, I would say that as not a partner of the way, I'm directly involved in the recruiting process, so it's important to me to make sure that, you know, our professionals at Deloitte are upholding the professional and ethical standards from the Oregon State Board's perspective. And this opportunity for me is just an extension of that influence and looking at how the rules and regulations within the Board of Accountancy and professional education, et cetera, would be monitored and facilitated through the state of Oregon. So I'm excited for the opportunity to serve on the board. I look forward to working with Pat Byrne and his group and the current members of the board. And I believe that, the 18 years of experience I've had in public accounting as an in audit, and then certainly the last 4 years not as an audit partner, would certainly help as a base of knowledge and experience and expertise in that area. So I guess I thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I would be happy to answer any questions that you would have at this time.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Ferguson? Seeing no questions, thank you very much for your willingness to call in today and your willingness to serve. And we will take action on your appointment a little bit later in this committee meeting.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will close that public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Scott Cooper to the Commission on Children and Families. Mr. Cooper?
Yes, hello.
Yes, Mr. Cooper, if you could just please state your name for the record, give us a brief 1 or 2 minutes about why you want to serve, and we'll see if there are any questions, and then we'll take action on your appointment a little bit later today.
Sure. My name is Scott Cooper from Prineville, Oregon, and I had put in my name in order to serve because I have been involved with the Commission on Children and Families since inception, 8 of those as the county judge here of Crook County. I've seen it do a great deal of good work in many rural counties. It is the only entity which is providing many of the linkages in the social services arena, which are making things happen. It has a huge impact on the lives of children and families, and I think it's a great vehicle for being able to bring citizens together with professionals and knock down some of the silos that tend to grow up between local and state agencies to prevent efficient and effective service delivery, and continuing to be able to encourage us to do more of that is something I think is important to the state of Oregon. So to the degree I have the ability to lend talents and skills to it, I would be more than happy to be a part of that.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Cooper. Any questions for Mr. Cooper? Seeing no questions, thank you very much for calling in today, and we will take action on your appointment a little bit later in this committee hearing.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so we're going to do this one.
And we have him already on the phone.
Okay, I will close the public hearing, open a public hearing on the appointment of Ivan Culver, Cindy Cunningham, Sean Murray to the State Board of Denture Technology.
And Ivan's on the phone.
Mr. Culver?
Yes.
Mr. Culver, if you'd please just state your name for the record, give us a minute or two of why you want to serve on this board, and we'll see if there are any questions.
Hey, my name is Ivan Culver. I've been back on Oregon,
okay.
And I was approached by a denturist that with the opportunity to be a lay person on the board, and I thought that would be something that I would enjoy doing. I used to be a board member of the Rose Valley Transportation District, and I know that it's kind of hard to find people who serve on these boards, so I just volunteered.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Culver. Any questions for Mr. Culver? Seeing no questions, thank you very much for being willing to appear here on the telephone and your willingness to serve. We'll take action a little bit later in this committee on your appointment.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Cunningham?
Yes.
Ms. Cunningham, if you just please state your name for the record, give us a minute or two in terms of why you want to serve on the board, and we'll see if there are any questions.
Okay, my name is Cynthia Cunningham. I have served on the Physical Therapist Licensing Board for the past 8 years, and my term is expiring, and I feel that we're fulfilling, and I want to serve on another board as a result of that. So
okay.
I'm applying.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Cunningham. Any questions for Ms. Cunningham? Seeing no questions, Ms. Cunningham, thank you for your willingness to serve. We'll take action on your appointment a little bit later today.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Murray?
Ms. Murray.
Oh, Ms. Murray, I'm sorry. Ms. Murray, if you could just state your name for the record, talk to us for a minute or two about why you want to serve on the board, and we'll see if there are any questions.
Okay. My name is Sean Murray. I'm a licensed insurist and have been licensed for 20 years in the state of Oregon. I've actually served on this board about 10 years ago for two terms. My belief is that as a professional, I want to be in the know and be part of the solution to any problems that there might be regarding our profession. And my concern is to make sure that the patients are served properly in the state of Oregon.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Murray. Any questions for Ms. Murray? Seeing no questions, Ms. Murray, we will take action on your appointment a little bit later in this committee hearing, and again, appreciate your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
I will close that public hearing, open a public hearing on the appointments of Marty Lynn Sathoff and David Yaden to the Oregon Health and Sciences University Board of Directors. This one's on the
phone.
Marty Lynn Sathoff, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Would you please state your name for the record? Talk to us for a minute or two about why you want this appointment or why you think that you that it's something you actually want to do. You're about our 65th interview today, so I'm sorry if I sound a little bit. But this is an extremely important board. OHSU plays an extremely important role both for this state and actually for medical research and other things far beyond what many people know. So we very much appreciate your willingness to serve.
Thank you. Chair Devlin, Vice Chair Ferrioli, and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Marty Lynn Sathoff, and I am currently the Chief Governance Officer of Northwest Natural. First, I want to say I'm honored to be considered and if confirmed to serve as a member of the board of OHSU. I want to serve because I believe education is a critical key to creating successful lives, successful citizens, and successful communities. Moreover, I believe post-secondary and postgraduate education is critical to our state's economic success. And finally, OHSU in particular exemplifies both those beliefs. It is an outstanding educational institution serving the citizens of Oregon and contributing to Oregon's success. If you give me this opportunity, I hope I can add value to this great institution based on some of my past experiences and professional knowledge. Many of you know I have been a longtime supporter of post-secondary and postgraduate education in Oregon. When I served with the Department of Justice, I provided legal counsel to Oregon's universities regarding their transactional work, particularly technology transfer. Over the years, I've been an active and ongoing proponent of public-private partnering and the positive connection between economic development and our universities as economic engines. And for a period of time, I was the governor's policy advisor for post-secondary education and economic development, as well as his legal counsel. Finally, and perhaps most important to me, I have a son who is attending Western Oregon University and receiving the benefits of a stellar educational opportunity offered in Oregon, an opportunity that I want to support and see continued. In closing, I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to testify today, and I would be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Well, thank you very much. Are there any questions? Seeing none, again, thank you very much for your willingness to appear here today by telephone. We will take action on your appointment a little bit later, and thank you for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
Mr. David Yaden?
This is David Yaden.
Hi, Mr. Yaden. It's not been that long since we've talked before. You know the routine here. If you could just state your name for the record and tell us over the next minute or two why you want to serve on this board.
Thank you, Chair Devlin, members of the committee. My name is David Yaden. I am currently a member of the State Board of Higher Education. I want to say simply what an honor it is to have a chance to work with people within our system of providing education for students after high school. Just a couple of brief observations from the less than a year that I've had with the system. First, the productivity of teachers and researchers within the system is really phenomenal. I think Oregonians probably don't fully appreciate that we are providing more access and opportunity for students and success, getting them through school and into jobs, than we have any right to expect from the amount of money that we've been able to provide to them. Secondly, with researchers, I think our faculty's rates very high nationally on a per capita or a per faculty member basis for the amount of research they're able to attract, again, despite the fact that we simply have not had the resources to support them. So that's a degree of productivity that's noteworthy, but it's also I'm very aware as I watch that it's a little like driving a car and not maintaining it and being proud that somehow the car is still running. We know we can't do that forever. The second thing is the degree of collaboration that happens among our institutions and across their boundaries. It's an enormous way for us to leverage what we get done in Oregon, and I think more ways we can find the small amounts of money that really help collaboration occur is something that we should focus on, and I would hope to get more attention to that if I'm allowed to serve on the Board of Oregon Health Sciences University. Be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Yadin? Seeing no questions, thank you very much for being willing to call in here today, and thank you very much for your service, both on the Board of Higher Education and the many ways that you've served the state of Oregon. And we'll take action on this appointment just a little bit later in this committee hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Close that public hearing. I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Nancy McLaughlin to the State Housing Council. Ms. McLaughlin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Ms. McLaughlin, if you'd state your name for the record, talk to us for a minute or two about why you want to serve on the Housing Council, and we'll see if there are any questions.
Thank you, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Nancy McLaughlin, and I'm from Ashland. I'm very interested in serving on the Oregon State Housing Council and hope to bring to the table over 25 years of experience working in affordable housing and community development for both the public and private sectors. I have knowledge and experience in nonprofit and for-profit lending, business development and planning, building strategic alliances and coalitions, and structuring funding programs to meet the needs of lower-income households. My interests are directly focused on finding ways to address and resolve the tremendous shortages of decent, safe, and affordable housing in our communities, and I'd like to apply my time and effort to this end through service on the council. I thank you for the opportunity to testify today and would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. McLaughlin? Seeing no questions, thank you very much for your willingness to appear here today by telephone. We will take action on your appointment just a little bit later today.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I'll close that public hearing, and I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Patrick Chapman and Sarah Ogushi to the Board of Naturopathic Examiners. Mr. Chapman? Mr. Chapman? Mr. Chapman, if you would state your name for the record, talk to us for a minute or two about why you want to serve on the Board of Naturopathic Examiners, and we'll see if there are any questions.
You bet. Hi, Chair Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Patrick Chapman. I'm a naturopathic physician in Portland, Oregon. My home address is 1235 Southeast Mall Street, Portland, 97202. I've been nominated to serve on the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners, and I think it's a great opportunity for me to serve both my profession and the public. I'm interested in serving on the board to uphold the highest standards for Oregon's licensed naturopathic doctors. And as a board member, I hope to assist with improved continuing medical education for both students and physicians, increase access to naturopathic care for Oregonians, and most importantly, to protect public safety. Thank you for the opportunity to allow me to testify before you today, and please let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chapman. Any questions for Mr. Chapman? Seeing no questions, thank you very much for your willingness to serve. We will take action on your appointment a little bit later today. Miss Ogushi?
Yes, this is Sarah Ogushi.
Miss Ogushi, if you could please state your name again for the record, and basically just talk to us for a minute or two about why you want to serve on the Board of Naturopathic Examiners.
Okay. This is Dr. Sarah Ogushi, and I am a naturopathic physician who also holds the certification in natural childbirth. I practice here in Portland, Oregon, and I wish to serve the board primarily to represent the small group of naturopaths, those of us who also are midwives and attend birth. And I've been practicing since 2000 and feel like it's probably my turn to serve my profession.
Any questions for Ms. Ogushi? Seeing none, thank you very much for your willingness to serve. We will actually take action on your appointment a little bit later in this hearing.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I'll close that public hearing. I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Faraz Ahmad to the Board of Examiners of the Nursing Home Administrators. Mr. Ahmad?
Speaking.
Yes, Mr. Ahmad, could you state your name for the record and then talk to us for a minute or two about your interest in serving on the Nursing Home Administrators Board?
All right. Well, first of all, thank you very much to the members of the committee for allowing me to speak to you. My name is Faraz Ahmed. I live in Florence, Oregon, and I'm the administrator at the Regency Florence, which is part of Regency Pacific. My interest in serving in this role is to pay back some of the guidance and support that I have been very fortunate to have had from my mentors and friends in the development of my professional career. I am greatly indebted to them, and I hope I can repay them by passing on some of the guidance and support that they have given me to others. I hope this is an opportunity where I can help as I can. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you, and if you have any other questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Ahmad? Seeing no questions, thank you very much for your interest in serving, and we'll take action on your appointment a little bit later today.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye. I will close that public hearing, and I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Carl Winner to the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. Mr. Winner? Hi, Mr. Winner. If you would please state your name for the record. Talk to us for a minute or two about your interest in serving.
Carl Conrad Winner.
Okay. And just talk to us for a minute or two about your interest in serving.
Sure. Well, I was asked to serve as a board member, and I've got experience with the Watershed Enhancement Board, both through trying to get projects done as an interested person through the Nature Conservancy and through the local organizations here, but also as a landowner myself, having projects done on a ranch that I own here in town. So I've had a very broad perspective of exposure to what the Watershed Enhancement Board does. I've been very impressed with the organization. I know many of the board members, and I'm very interested in doing what I can to make it an even more successful organization.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Winner? Seeing no questions, we'll take action on your appointment a little bit later in this committee hearing, and very much appreciate the committee does your willingness to serve.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll close that public hearing. I'm going to open a public hearing on the appointment of Bob Spelza to the Trust for Cultural Development Board. Mr. Spelza?
I think it's starting to be happy hour, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Spelza?
Yes, this is Mr. Spelz.
Oh, Mr. Spelz, sorry. This is Senator Devlin. I'm here with the committee members from the Rules Committee. If you could state your name for the record and talk to us for a minute or two about your interest in serving on the Cultural Development Board.
Sure. Well, first of all, Chair Devlin and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to be with you today. I wish I could be there in person. I'm at an employee variety show, so if you hear chorus line in the background, forgive me. My name is Bob Spelz, and I'm a Portland, Oregon resident and the Director of Public Affairs for the Standard and Insurance and Financial Services Company in Portland. My interest in the Trust Board really stems from what I do in my personal and professional life as a corporate grant maker who supports cultural organizations with corporate profits. And my hope is to do a couple things. One, to guide the trust's policy-making discussions, help other board members and staff be more effective in the work of the organization. More importantly, to be a visible advocate for art and culture, not just in the metro area, but across our state, and to connect communities, people, and cultural organizations and larger groups with each other. And I'd say lastly, to be a supporter of the trust and help raise visibility around the state.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any question for Mr. Spelz? Seeing no questions, we'll take action on your appointment a little bit later today, and very much appreciate your willingness to serve.
Thank you all very much. Have a good day.
Okay, where's the next?
Julie Minty.
Okay, we'll go on. Ms. Mancini, are you there? Ms. Mancini, are you there?
Julie, answer the phone.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Ms. Mancini,
okay.
This is Senator Devlin. I'm here with the members of the Rules Committee. They're all waiting very attentively. If you would please just state your name for the record and then tell us for a couple of minutes why you want to serve on the Cultural Trust Board.
How many people in that room do I know?
Probably quite a few.
I want to say hi to Judy. I didn't see the whole list. My name is Julie Mancini. I think you have some reason of what my background has been, and I think my belief in the Cultural Trust is truly a very strong belief, but I think it has to be working with a board and obviously citizens throughout the state. I want to say, one, to raise the visibility of it, because, well, I think the commission has done a great job of, I so appreciate the end-of-year things that you gave to an arts organization, give to the trust, but I know that can't be said enough, just in terms of changing a culture of how people behave. And second, I think somewhere, obviously, we all have to address state funding for the Cultural Trust, so I think that's probably also a test for the board.
Hey,
did I just answer that question?
Yes, you did, Ms. Mancini. Any questions for Ms. Mancini? Seeing no questions, thank you very much.
Wait. What role do you guys see that the Cultural Trust has in the state?
Run this committee.
Well, actually, I think they've had a very beneficial role. I know there have been a few issues between the legislature and the Cultural Trust. I do actually believe some of the work that they do in communities is extremely helpful to arts organizations that would not actually be able to exist without their support and guidance. So I do think they play a very valuable role.
Great.
So do I, Julie. This is Ginny Burdick.
I know your voice, Ginny.
And I actually think so highly of it that even on a legislative salary, I have given to it.
Say that once again.
Even on a legislative salary, I have actually given to it.
Exactly. I mean, it just is the, changing the behavior in terms of people understanding how it works. And, that obviously can be done. It just takes much longer than anybody assumes that it's going to take.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Mancini. We will take action on your appointment a little bit later today and very much appreciate your willingness to serve.
Great. Thanks for your work, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'll close that public hearing. We open a public hearing on the appointment of Maggie Bennington Davis to the State Hospital Advisory Board. Ms. Davis?
Yes, I'm here.
Ms. Bennington Davis. This is Senator Devlin. I'm here with the rest of the members from the Rules Committee. If you could just state your name for the record, and then over the next minute or two, just basically state your interest in serving on this board.
My name is Maggie Bennington Davis. I'm a psychiatrist in Oregon. I'm the Chief Medical Officer for Cascadia Behavioral Health in Portland, Oregon. And I was educated at Oregon Health Sciences University and have spent my whole career serving the public psychiatry system in Oregon. I was medical director for psychiatry at Salem Hospital there in Salem for most of my career, and have had a lot of interest in the state hospital, in its role in the overall public mental health system. I've done a lot of consulting to the state hospital. I've been on previous committees regarding the state hospital and its role and its future and its function, and I would be very honored to serve this particular administration at this particular time, because healthcare is in a pretty exciting time right now. So I think, maybe real shifting change is at hand, and we'd love to be a part of that.
Okay, any questions for Ms. Bennington Davis? Seeing no questions, we will take action on your appointment a little bit later today. Very much appreciate your willingness to serve, and hope you enjoy your service.
Well, it's my honor, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Close that public hearing, and we will be just at ease for a moment or two until we can get all these motions in order.
Okay.
Senator Ferrioli, can we talk? September 29th, 2009. The first motion we're going to go to is the motion on reappointments. I'm opening a work session and moving the reappointments to the following boards and commissions to the Senate floor with a B-confirmed en bloc recommendation. Terry Dieter to the Building Code Structures Board. Mark Foldham to the State Board of Clinical Social Workers. Nicholas Fish, Walter Frankel, Norm Smith to the Trust for Cultural Development Board. Thomas Husted, Brett Yancey to the Oregon Educators Benefit Board. James Johnston to the Electrical and Elevator Board. David Crum Bien and Jock Mills to the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board. Roman Hernandez to the Oregon Health Sciences University Board of Directors. Hannah Fisher Arfer to the State Board of Higher Education. David Molina to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. Edward Necker to the Lane Transit District Board. James Culbertson and Bradley Wright to the Mechanical Board. Alan King to the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board. Joyce DeMonin, Bruce Johnson, James Martin, Brett Shepard to the Patient Safety Commission Board of Directors. Candace Wheeler to the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. Barry Cast and Norwood Knight Richardson to the Psychiatric Security Review Board. Peter
Calero
to Enrich Peppers to the Public Employees Benefit Board. Philip Schiltz to the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. T. Allen Twombly to the State Board of Tax Practitioners. Gary Humphreys, Robert Sconce, Michael Wood to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. Charles Barlow, John Jackson, Mary Malloy, Raymond Williams to the Water Resources Commission. Abigail Herman to the Workers' Compensation Board. Tracy Brill, Lon Holston, John Kirkpatrick, Gregory Miller, Kathy Nishimoto, Mike O'Rourke, Jerry Ray, Bob Shipwreck, and Sherry Sundstrom to the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Commission. Is there any discussion about these reappointments? Are there any objections to these reappointments? Seeing none, so ordered. Okay. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Mary Yeagert as Ombudsman for the Office of Long-Term Care to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I thought Mr. Carlson accurately characterized the issues at hand here. The appointee is eminently well qualified for this position, and people may have rallied to the defense of the previous ombudsperson, and I think that's laudable, but the governor certainly is within his authority to do as he has done in appointing the new ombudsperson. And we can all criticize the process, but I think it was stated for the record that it followed the letter of the law. So, Mr. Chairman, I think the extraordinary invitation that you made to the applicant to come back and sort of revisit the issues, it was nice to hear more, but utterly unnecessary, because I think the record is clear.
Okay.
So we'll be supporting her nomination.
Senator Farioli, I will be supporting her nomination also. For the record, in terms of the former ombudsman, obviously the board there and the governor has the clear prerogative to have whoever they want to serve. The role of this committee is to confirm or not confirm the governor's appointments. Actually, the role of this committee is to recommend to the full Senate to confirm or not confirm the governor's appointments. I do believe that the process actually was a little bit muddier than it needed to be quite honest, because one of the things I would think with the former ombudsman leaving, there should be an affirmative responsibility on those people that are interested to actually inquire about the process, since they do know that it is a 60-day process. I do think actually Ms. Yeager's tenure could have been made a little bit easier if simply a memo had went out to all of those various entities that are normally involved in this informing of the process, and I think it's unfortunate that that was not done. But obviously, she is eminently qualified for this position, and I wish her well in this position, and I'll be supporting her appointment. Any additional comments? Okay. Yeah, are there any objections? Seeing no objection, so ordered. Okay, I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Colette Peters as Director of the Oregon Youth Authority to the Senate floor with the recommendation the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm opening the work session and moving the appointment of Aaron Felton to the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision to the Senate floor with recommendation the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm so glad you don't believe in two-sided copies. I'm opening a work session and moving the following appointments to the following boards and commissions to the Senate floor with the... That's missing, actually.
With the be confirmed
in block recommendation. Anthony Biglin, George Brown, John Costello, Heather Crow Martinez, Judith Cushing, Dennis Dotson, Sarah Goforth, Timothy Hartnett, Janet Holcomb, Aaron Hubert, John King, Dennis McCarthy, Elisa Rook-Lee, Randy Schoen, Timothy Thompson, and Ted Wheeler to the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission, Ann Ferguson to the Oregon Board of Accountancy, Scott Cooper to the State Commission on Children and Families, Julie Mancini, Heidi McBride, Bob Speltz to the Trust for Cultural Development Board, Brandon Schwint to the Oregon Board of Dentistry, Ivan Culver, Cindy Cunningham, Sean Murray to the State Board of Denture Technology, Wally Hazen to the Oregon Educators Benefit Board, Timothy Frew and Michael Weaver to the Electrical and Elevator Board, Larry Campbell and John Waller to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, Robert Brown, Brian DeVore, Gregory Fraser, Steve Gordon, Bridget Haggerty, William Hockett, Richard Howard, Marie Laper, Robert Risk, Sharon Stanhill, David Wyden to the Health Information Technology Oversight Council, Marty Lynn Satoff and David Yaden to the Oregon Health Sciences University Board of Directors, Michael Bonetto, Eileen Brady, Carlos Crespo, Felisa Higgins, Charles Hoffman, Eric Parsons, Joe Robertson, Lillian Shirley, Nita Werner to the Oregon Health Policy Board, Alan Ford to the State Board of Higher Education, Stephen Bender to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs, Nancy McLaughlin to the State Housing Council, Gary Gillespie to the Lane Transit District Board, Patrick Chapman and Sarah Ogushi to the Board of Naturopath Examiners, Faraz Ahmad to the Board of Examiners of Nursing Home Administrators, Michael Edelman, Maggie Bennington Davis, Becky Child, Nona Clark, Robin Henderson, Brant Johnson, Corbett Monica, Herbert Ozer, Bruce Rogers, Janet Spinoza, Frank Warner Jr., Deborah Weston to the Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board, Jim Carter to the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Portland, Sarah Hinnicky and Robin Sheffer to the State Plumbing Board, Kate Lieber to the Psychiatric Security Review Board, Althea Miller to the Oregon Student Assistance Commission, Jeffrey Matsumoto to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, Carl Wenner to the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, Pamela Rue Ona to the Oregon Workers' Compensation Management Advisory Commission. Any discussion? Any objection? In terms of discussion, Senator Farioli, we had talked about a comment that you had on the new health board.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the environment into which the Oregon Health Policy Board will be working as a new entity is pretty highly charged. Pretty important stuff they're going to be doing. A lot of national policy proposals are flying around, and extremely interested constituency in this issue. I hope we don't do what we've done in the past with recommendations from commissions, and that is hear them, print them, shrink wrap them, bind them, distribute them, and file them without ever really taking action on those. And the possibility, I think, is increased by the potential for the return of an individual who's very committed to the debate on a health policy board. So we'll have to find out in the next cycle exactly who the next chief executive of Oregon will be and how interested they are in listening to these recommendations. but I hope we do. This is a very well-qualified board, extremely interested and well-informed people are going to serve on this commission, so I hope that we listen to them. Thank you.
Okay. Any additional discussion from the committee? Hearing none. Any objections to the motion? Hearing none. So moved. Members of the committee, that completes our work today except for the assignment of carrying these on the floor. There'll be actually, if I can actually do this, there'll actually be three. There'll be the reappointments, the new appointments, and then I will try and block the paid appointments, knowing that I may have to split one of those apart, actually, to be frank. But do I have a volunteer for the reappointments? Senator Ferriola, you've got the reappointment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I got a volunteer for the paid.
Oh, let you
know. Oh, well, you do it, Chair.
I will do the paid. Senator Metzger, will you do the
unpaid?
The unpaid?
Sure. Whatever you want me to do, Mr. Chair.
Okay. And Senator Atkinson, if we get anything that's actually pushed to the side that in terms of I have to separate or Senator Ferrioli or someone else requests to separate, can I count on you to carry one of those appointments if we need to do that?
I would be delighted.
Thank you very much, Senator Atkinson. With that, that concludes our work for the committee here today. Look forward to seeing you all soon.
Yeah.